Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. How say you, America? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
I was running in. I thought, I have 2 minutes. I can do it.
Yeah, I've been getting here later and later. I'd like to give my coffee a shot
right.
in the microwave for
sure.
about 20 seconds to warm it up before I come sit down in here. I've not left myself enough time to do that.
For that extra 20 seconds.
Well, I would go 22.
Of course.
But no, I have not.
And by the way, you do 22, so you can press the 2 twice.
That's right.
That coffee thing really is the perfect entry to your day, because your eyes get acclimated to the light, the coffee warms up, you get ready for a rant, because someone has obviously left food in the inside the microwave.
Oftentimes, they've exploded some seafood in there the right. night before. By the way, is it just this workplace, or is there more culinary action going on in the kitchen? I thought the work kitchen was so that you could get a cup of joe and eat a corn muffin twice a week. I didn't know people would be bringing in raw elements of food. And I didn't know there'd be a spit set up in here. I'm seeing serving carts. You know what I'm saying?
If it was just confined, if it was just confined to this morning show, it's understandable because you get here at 4:30,
sure.
5, whatever. All throughout the day, cooking going
it's,
on.
And it's also international. I was going to say that yesterday I walked out and somebody was preparing a Mediterranean feast
I know.
Pita and falafel and hummus.
And I know
couscous.
People do this. First off, you know how people respond to your answers as if you don't live in this society in this current day? You know, where you go, hey, man, I see you bringing in crock pots filled with beans and gravy and stuff. How about you just go across the street and eat lunch with everyone else? They go, you know how expensive that is? Or this say, and you go, I want to go, yes, Dillweed. What do you think I'd do? Just lowered myself down on a winch from a star? And I'll go, yeah, how much is a burrito over there at Paquito Moss? $1,800? $1,000? $5,000? Which costs more? Two soft tacos or brand new Chevy S10 pickup truck? Like, do you think I don't know? Yes, insane person. The tacos are $3. You have $80 worth of bouillabaisse over here. Your plan is it's going to last you 9 months. You're nuts. You see, you have a job. If I barged into your house and said, what are you doing with that crock pot? You could go, I'm unemployed.
Sure.
I have to make my pennies count. But seeing as how you're eating at the workplace, unless you're just coming in here to eat, which I do suspect many of the people are, I would say you're gainfully employed. Thus, you could take your $4, you could walk it across the street, you could go to the great, the California whatever, the burrito whatever across the street.
Baja Fresh.
You go to Baja Fresh, and for $5, like a human being, you could eat your lunch, and you could step out of the building for 10 seconds.
Yeah, get some sunshine. I don't want to piss off that guy, though, because Tuesdays are fondue days.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh. I brought my bread, too.
Good.
Yeah. And by the way, you getting out of the workplace, out of the building every once in a while is not only good for you master of the culinary arts, but it's good for the people that work with you.
Yeah, give us a break, too.
Thank you. Katie?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Katie?
Hey.
Not a lot. How are you doing?
What do you got for us this morning?
Awesome rant, by the way. My worst food smell in the office has to be fish.
Yeah,
there's a lot of exotic cuisine going out here, too. It's not like people are just coming in and boiling peas.
No, it's an ahi tuna steak with edamame.
There's curry going on.
So gross.
It's between that and the burnt popcorn that fills the entire office.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Yeah, the one that gets left in the microwave. Yeah.
Yeah. So, big fan of the show. How are all of you doing this morning? Tea, what's up?
Oh, Katie, let me tell you something, if I may, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
I woke up today very excited because I realized Thursday's Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm saying this now because I know Batman isn't up. And he hasn't asked me at all what I want, which isn't like him, and then it dawned on me. It could be ring day.
You want a proposal.
I think I might. I don't know. My mom came to town last week, Katie, and she said, I bet you he's going to propose on Valentine's Day. And I said, I don't think so because I'm not very traditional. And she said, well, he is. And then we put $100 on it.
Oh, really?
My mom and I have $100 riding on it. So Thursday could be the day, but this cannot go on the podcast because he will listen. Promise me.
Okay.
Because I don't want to ruin it.
What's a podcast?
Katie,
I have to go
on the podcast because I'm listening from Chicago, and I have to listen to myself later.
Oh, okay. Because you are pretty good, Katie. We should include you.
So I just wanted to say that listening to your show is making me sound smarter. I was out to dinner with my family on Saturday, and I was so full. I said before we went home and ate dessert, I was going to need a refractory period. So I didn't use it in the context you usually use, Adam.
You used it as a metaphor.
Ladies don't normally have that, but all right. I like
that. My brother was very impressed, and I couldn't tell him. You know, I gave you credit, but I didn't say anything.
Mainly because he thinks you're dumb. But thanks, Katie.
Katie, do you use any other Carollisms in your daily life?
Oh, totally. Totally.
I'm a gay man.
That one?
Mijo!
I like to just throw out the random words that he likes to use. I love that you just use bouillabaisse. That's a prime example. Just throw little random words out that people don't expect to hear. It's fun.
Thanks, Katie.
Katie, I did one yesterday. I told my cat, was sitting on the bed, I said, hit the bricks, cow. Felt good.
Yeah, I just use that with you, T. That's not one of my normal things.
Well,
kind of off the air.
S falls down, and who's beneath me? Only the cat.
Hit the bricks, cow, something I only use when the mics are turned off after the show, and we're trying to do a meeting in here.
I know, but it has a nice ring.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, sweetie P.
Thank you.
All right. T, you know what I was thinking about? You brought up a couple of times recently, but haven't really gotten into it. And it's something I didn't know for the first year I knew you, that your mom owned a coffee shop.
Yeah, Sacred Grounds on Hayes and Cole.
And
you know it?
I don't know, but I know where that area is. I know where that is.
There's a poet that stayed with you for free. Yeah. Max, but the coffee shop, owning a coffee shop.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, she worked half day at her regular square job for the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half of the day, she ran Sacred Grounds. And it was a lot of work. She was always, ordering pastries, making soup. And there was a motley crew in there. Because even back then, way before Starbucks, people would get their cup of coffee and nurse it all day.
Yeah.
There was the occasional homeless person she'd have to remove.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like a real moneymaker, the coffee shop. Because here's something that costs $1.50. It's bottomless, and you can sit here for 6.5 hours.
Well, you just hope they get a piece of cheesecake or a bagel, sandwich.
Right. And whenever I go into a coffee shop, I don't see people eating that often because it seems like the people that want to eat go into a restaurant, and the people that want to hang out and waste your electricity and your rent go to your coffee shop. I'm trying to think where the profit comes from.
It was always very narrow, narrow margins every month. It was not a moneymaker, but she loved it. And we had a poetry night, poetry slam before there was poetry slam.
I just, it's like when people complain about Starbucks, they're like, come on, man, $3 for a cup of coffee? Well, look, the coffee would be 89 cents if you came in, bought it, and got your fat ass the F out of our establishment. But if you're going to hunker down for 4 hours, roll some calls with your secretary, work on your next American novel, and then at the end of that buy $1.25 worth of lemon square, and we're going to have to charge $3.
Oh,
we're in Manhattan, everybody. Yeah. How do you think this is going to work otherwise?
This was, obviously in the Haight in San Francisco, but it was near a medical school.
Yeah, it was right by USF.
Yeah.
Is this still own it?
No, she sold it when I was 18 or 19.
I got an idea.
What?
And Starbucks doesn't do this, but other businesses do this. You know, they do that thing where they go, shoplifters cost us all money. Because when people come in and they shoplift items or they shoplift groceries, we have to take those losses and pass them along to you, the consumer. So they cost you. I feel like Starbucks ought to do that. And I would like to just start myself a gourmet coffee place called Get the F Out of Here. Now, here's my deal with you. Here's my deal.
No chairs.
No chairs. As a matter of fact, pointy sticks. Just sharpened bamboo. Sharp. It'd be like one of those Burmese tiger traps out of Vietnam.
Well, how do you get customers?
Well, here's how it works. The same gourmet coffee that Starbucks sells for $1.29 a cup instead of $3 a cup. But the good news is if you're in here longer than 2.5 minutes, I'll hit you with a beanbag riot gun. Get the F out. Yeah. You come in, you get your coffee, you get the F out. Now, when I go to a Starbucks, that's what I do. I feel like 85% of the busy people, ironically, the people that have money and pay the taxes, they roll in, they grab their coffee, and they run to work.
Yeah.
That's what they do. But then there's the 15 or 20% that aren't employed and aren't employable. They hunker down, and they're the reason why our coffee costs as much as it does.
Yeah, they should pay rent.
All right. Get the F out.
And you know, people say, have a nice day, they give you coffee. Your people say, get.
Yeah.
Or beat it.
Right. And our...
go on, get.
Yeah, our mascot is a crotchety miner with a rock salt shotgun. Uh-oh, here comes Pappy Park. Get! And he just pumps it. He never fires it. He just keeps pumps it about every top of the hour.
Just as scary as
quarter and half
hurt
of the
you.
Hour. Yeah, guy with a big beard.
The music in the place is all sort of fast-paced.
Let's go. Let's give it along. Hey, what do you want?
Just one quick coffee.
I like that cream.
Cream's good.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you very much.
I just throw a handful of beans and some hot water at you. Go ahead and make it out on the sidewalk. Let's go. Who's next? Step it up. Oh, please,
the
old lady.
The cash register makes the shot.
No lemon square.
Yeah, when he opened the cash register.
No, my mom had a good technique for homeless, and only ones that really smelled, because it would scare off the other customers, which she desperately needed. So, you know, she was very
humane. Homeless in the panhandle, by the way.
Right. I know. She would go over with a cup of coffee to go and a pastry, probably a day old.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, thank you so much. If you wouldn't mind moving along, here's a coffee and a lemon square.
Sure.
That's good. And your mom's a saint. But then the problem with that from a societal standpoint is then that will draw the guy in next time to get his free pastry and free cup of coffee. Justin?
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 Dustin with a D?
Oh, Dustin. Dustin, yes. Sorry, that's you.
Morning, Adam. Morning, T.
What's happening?
Hey, I just want to let you know, Adam, that I'm a garbage man up here on the Oregon coast, and we get in and out of our trucks a couple hundred times a day on like those guys down there. We're the old school kind.
I like those guys.
And we will actually come up to your house, Adam, if you forget to put it out and pull your can down to the curb and dump it in our truck.
Well, reason 2046 why Oregon's a much better place than Southern California.
Seems like their garbage wouldn't smell as bad.
I even, here's the deal. If you cut up a tree and you have to put some branches or something up there, there's a whole bunch of criteria that you have to meet in order for them to pick it up. And then you have to call large item pickup. And then if the logs are more than 30 pounds or more than 30 inches, they won't pick that up. There's like a ton of rules, tons of directions your cans have to face. It's all, look, I like the old school guy rides on the back of the truck, jumps out and grabs whatever you got out there. And that guy, by the way, we'll get the bottle of Jameson's for Christmas left for him out there. I just don't like the robotic arm guys copping the attitude.
I don't even have a guy on the back of the truck. We're pretty much a one-man crew. We just in and out of the truck all day.
Old school.
Ooh, Dustin, can we ask what you're pulling down a year?
Nowhere near 65. I mean, I'm probably pulling in right now around 34.
What do you think a school teacher in your district is making?
One of my best friends is a school teacher at high school, and he makes right around there, too, like 35, 36
years. Yeah, I'm just saying, here's the thing. Dustin, thank you. And by the way, he's 26. He's doing fine.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Everyone says that, you know, stay in school or you'll be a garbage man. Garbage men get paid the same. Everyone who works for the city seems to just get the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. The people at the DMV, the school teachers, the garbage men, the cops and the firemen, they all just seem to pull in the same amount.
Building inspectors.
Which is too much. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Good news, everybody. Not only is today National Pancake Day, but Miss America. Oh, wait. Kristen Hagland is in here. Now, she was on the show, right? Did you watch the show?
Yeah, what they did this year was unusual. The show was actually on TLC, and it was a reality show. I think there were 4 episodes, and it was done in that manner. I think, actually, America voted.
I did see the show. I didn't see all 4 episodes. I think I just saw the first one and maybe the second one. So, Kristen, Miss America 08, she was Miss Michigan heading into the competition now. Miss America, we'll talk to her next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with program director and registered sex offender Jack Silver.
Check, check, check! Happy National Pancake Day, peeps! On today's show, Miss America 2008, Kirsten Hagland! Home improvement questions with HGTV's Eric Stromer! infomercial pitchman Billy Mays, comedian Jeffrey Ross. Look, I know this is normally the time where I go over my checklist for tonight's big Playboy Mansion show, but, the Jackman's been put on the Do Not Admit list after last year's unpleasantness. That's the bad news. The good news is, I'm now the only person banned from the Playboy Mansion, Disneyland, and the Museum of Tolerance. And the La Brea Tar Pits. And the Hannah Montana Tour Bus. And Portugal.
Thank you, Jack. Phone number is 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I would complain that was too long if it wasn't funny.
No, very
funny. It's like a 3-hour movie that's really good. Hey, Kirsten Hagelin, good to see you.
Hi, thanks.
You are a breath of fresh air, my dear.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
You know, I know why people like good-looking women. They just, they make you feel better.
It's true. They light up a room.
Gosh, well, thank you.
You know what else they do? This is important service. You know, good-looking women, they get a lot of crap, but good-looking women provide an incentive, which is to say, if you have a business and you hire a nice-looking receptionist, I feel like the other guys in the business pull it together a little bit.
Yeah.
They start shaving, they groom a little better. You'll see them, like, tucking their shirts in before they walk in and stuff. Just walking past one. That's what I want to do. I'm going to get a business.
I'm just put a lovely reception.
I'm going to hire you or someone who looks like you. You're just going to stand by the door, and all the schlubs that come in are going to go like, oh, hey. Yeah. They do that thing where they lick their hand and try to mat down the back of their hair.
Right, the eyebrows.
Yeah, do that move I do with my eyebrows. Although I need a second person to help me. I can only do one side.
Maybe Kirsten would do that. It's Kirsten, right?
Oh,
Kirsten.
I'm sorry, yes. Kirsten.
No, that's all right.
I love people that are good looking and cool with me
and
mispronouncing
Miss America,
their names.
For God's sake.
Yes, for the love of Christ. So now the show, this is the first time they did the show, right? Where they did the Miss America show before the pageant?
Yes, the reality show, the four part series. They did a reality show last year called Pageant School on CMT, but it wasn't four parts. It wasn't as big and in depth.
Now, was it a success? Are they going to continue to do it in this format?
It was a big success. The ratings went up. The median age of viewers went down significantly. Mm-hmm. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to engage the younger generation. And so we were successful. So they're going to, I think, add more episodes next year. So
you're saying Burt Park singing The Most Beautiful Girl in the World does not draw in the tweens? No. Are she dead?
Well,
the point is
Mario Lopez now.
The point is they're trying to skew a little bit younger now.
Right, exactly.
And they do a reality show and that skews younger because what person doesn't like to see 50 great-looking women all living under the same house?
Is there still a bathing suit competition?
There is a swimsuit competition.
There is. Nope. And it's one piece?
No. You can choose. You can choose. Mm. You have a choice. One piece or two piece. Most people choose two. That was part of the modernizing process, was taking the swimsuit aspect as well as evening gown and making it more hip, making it more runway, so that you could express your individuality rather than feeling like, this is really awkward. I'm on stage in a bathing suit.
Yeah, they used to put them all in the same bathing suit back in the day, right?
Right. Similar swimsuits. And the whole, actually, competition started as a bathing beauty contest in Atlantic City. And so that's where our tradition is and the history of the program. So that's why, you know, we like to keep it.
Now, have you climbed the pageant mountain, or what's next?
The pageant mountain?
You start at base camp. That's your local city stuff.
Yes.
And then you move up to your bivouac up in the state. And then eventually you see the summit. Is that Miss America's Miss Universe, the summit? What's higher, America or Universe?
Well, Miss Universe is the Miss USA system. That's owned by Donald Trump. It's a different organization.
Mm-hmm.
For our organization, Miss America is the summit, if you will. So, yeah, you have to compete at local to go to state and state to go to Miss America.
Kirsten, can I give you a hot bikini tip?
Yeah.
Do you wear hot bikinis often? Is that why you're...
I'm not in shape downstairs now because I've let myself go over the winter, but the waxing van comes by the station later, I will be.
Okay.
What's your tip?
Well, here's my tip. Now, just dig this. You look great. You put the two-piece on. Everyone else looks great. They're wearing the two-piece. Everyone is preening and they're tan and everything's about equal. But everyone else is wearing the pumps. And I know they wear the pumps to make themselves a little taller, makes their leg shape a little better.
Yes.
But you put on the Uggs.
Yes.
And there's nothing hotter than a chick in a bikini wearing Uggs. You know what look that is? That's that look of, I'm going to hop out of, we're up in Aspen and it's snowing, and I'm going to get out of the hot tub for a minute to grab another Grand Marnier. Right. Do you need to top off?
Ski bunny.
Oh, yes, that's a hot look.
That would be hip.
Now, is there any rule that you can't do that?
Well, I think we're required to wear heels.
Huh?
Well, you know who should do it? Miss Alaska.
Mm.
In keeping with the theme, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there was going to be a
almost 300 pounds
this year.
So. I'm sorry, but it's a large, large woman.
No.
Nanook of the North and South. She's that
and
big.
West.
And West.
Oh, gosh, that's bad.
You know, Kirsten, I have a kind of a more serious question. When you look at old Miss America pictures, the women are round. They have a whole different body shape, which was the style then.
Yep.
And now they're all super thin and very muscular. And you've been open about having anorexia in the past. Mm. What's your journey been like to get to a normal, healthy size?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a long process, and that's what a lot of people don't understand, is it's long and it's complicated, and it's not only physical recovery, but it's mental and emotional recovery as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very involved in ballet, and that was kind of what triggered my eating disorder, as well as then just internalizing all of the magazine pictures and really began to define myself based on what I look like being tall, thin ballerina Kirsten, instead of finding out who I was and what I believed in and my character. So I had to remove myself from that. I had to work with a team of three doctors to get better, a health practitioner, a psychologist, and a nutritionist.
Uh-huh.
And it was a long journey. And to make a long story short, I was able to come out on the other side, had wonderful family support and friends who supported me, and chose to make it my platform because I wanted to help other women. And I wanted to let people know that there was a positive message. It's not glamorous. It's scary and it's deadly.
How thin did you get at your thinnest?
Well, we don't like to throw around numbers in the eating disorders community because every single person's situation is different.
Right. Got
so
it.
If one person is one weight and very unhealthy, someone, you know, a girl could look at that and say, well, I'm not down to that, so I'm not anorexic enough.
Got
or
it.
A dangerous
enough.
Message.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. So you have to be really careful.
Right. Because you might trigger some other girl to think, well, I'm not 87 pounds. I
right.
should keep starving.
Exactly. And you can
into
be
the
very,
80s?
Right? No. Well,
90s.
We're not going to go there. But every single, you can be very unhealthy internally and look on the outside like a normal person.
That's how I like them.
So that's what, gosh, you're awful. No, I'm kidding.
I like the lower self-esteem.
I'll tell you what, the ballet seems like a fast track. I was also a ballet dancer and every girl was so thin, and the teachers really loved the thin girls.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard.
Well, can I ask this? I've talked to my share of folks with eating disorders as well, and I found that domineering mom is one of the components of it. Is that a component
you know,
in your situation?
That can be absolutely
perfection.
In my case, my mom is the best mom in the world. She had nothing to do with it. It was completely me.
Really?
Because
obviously no mom. First off, every mom loves their daughter.
Right, absolutely.
And the second thing is no mom ever says, hey, throw up into the trash can.
No,
but the mom says
not.
To the 9-year-old daughter, sweetie, that leotard's looking a little bit tight on you. You know, it'd help better you could compete better.
Right.
Even if they're not putting overt pressure on you. Just the idea of perfection for a 9-year-old may be too much for the 9-year-old to handle. Was your mom a perfectionist?
Right. I understand that completely, but that's the thing. My mom is not that way at all. My dad is very much a perfectionist.
Mm.
Not that he ever said anything to me, but I inherited his traits.
Uh-huh.
That's type A, very determined, very goal-oriented, and you set XYZ goals and you accomplish them.
Did you go for the pageants yourself? Was that something that was self-motivated?
You know what? I did. And I went through a period of time when I absolutely didn't want a thing to do with pageants. And I've been watching Miss America when I was very little, and my grandmother was Miss Michigan in 1944.
Oh, a legacy.
Yeah. So I'd always grown up, you know, watching them, but never thought that I would actually do it. And then I turned 17 and I was going off to college, and college is very expensive, and scholarship is a huge part of the program, as well as I love to be on stage. I'm a musical theater major at school. That's I've kind of shifted my focus now, so it's a healthier place for me to be. And so I wanted to be on stage. I thought, I have to just do it once, just to say that I did it, you know? And I did, and that's when life kind of stepped in and happened to me. And I won my first local. I won my first time at state, and then I won Miss America.
It's gotta suck for your mom when you're going, well, Granny was Miss America, and Granda was Sweetie. What's up with you?
I am good at badminton.
Yeah. You put the bad in it last time I checked.
Kirsten's only 19, we should say.
Oh, how poised.
Yes.
Kirsten Haglund's in here. She is Miss America. And speaking of eating, did you know that today's National Pancake Day?
Of course. Doesn't everyone?
I announced, by the way, I don't know why I never get done being shocked by what producer Angie won't eat, but I think I said, who doesn't like pancakes? And she said, I don't like pancakes.
Oh, how good.
And I wanted to just throw, I said, sweetie, I'm buying you a one-way ticket to your mother, Russia.
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
Un-American. Yeah. Like, if you gave me 1,000 food items to pick from and you had everything from beets to liver, I would pick pancakes if I said, what is the one food item that no American doesn't like?
And they're especially great today because I understand if you go to IHOP, you can help out charity.
Absolutely. You get a free short stack of buttermilk pancakes. Mm. And that's three, short stacks three, because I didn't know that.
Right. Lumberjack stack, and, that's like five.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So you get three pancakes for free.
And but they ask that you consider giving a donation that goes to Children's Miracle Network.
That's nice.
And that's our national platform in the Miss America organization. And all the money stays local, so the money just, you know, your donation doesn't disappear into some corporate vacuum. It goes right to your local hospital. So it's a really great charity, and they're great people too. You know, you don't always meet great people, but they're wonderful, both Children's Miracle Network and IHOP.
So you go over to your IHOP, you get the eggs over my hammy, and then you get the free short stack, and then you feed the kitty on the way out. So that they, right?
Right, right.
All right.
I went to the first annual one.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 years ago. This is the third one. Yeah. I went to the first one. We went across the street, spearheaded by our producer at the time. He's like, let's go get some pancakes.
Oh, really?
You walk in and they hand you pancakes.
Kirsten, it's a class move if you bring a date to that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
sweetie, eat up. Enjoy. Don't worry about the cost.
By the way, you got a buck for the kids.
Come on. I'm a little short, but the kids, why should they get screwed? National Pancake Day goes on today. Probably starts whenever IHOP's open, right? Which is
7 a.m. to 10 p.m. today.
Holy crap.
So, free pancakes all day. I mean, they gave out over a million pancakes last year. Yeah. And they raised $625,000. And so, this year we're hoping to raise over $750,000. So.
Well, God bless you. That's and so, what's next, Kirsten? What do we...
After Miss America?
After Miss America.
I'll go back to school. I'll only be a sophomore.
Where are you going to school?
The University of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I'm at the Conservatory of Music there. And I have over $62,000 for school now.
From
competing in
the pageants.
Miss America. It's
you're
incredible.
All right.
My parents are so happy. Yes.
Listen, if the wheels come off the wagon, you can always sell your scepter or whatever it is.
Or the crown.
The crown or whatever. You do that move they did in Raging Bull where you pick the jewels out of the crown.
Oh, gosh.
Then you go to the pawn shop on the seedy side of town.
Do you love your crown? Do you just
Raging
love it?
Bull,
you know
sure.
what? I do, actually, and it's sad
it's in there.
Admit. And
you
the
crown?
Box.
Yeah,
it's
I did.
Right there.
Of course, I had to bring it.
Can
to
we
want
take
to see
a look?
It.
Yeah.
This one is really beautiful. I mean, like,
now, is that a tiara or a crown?
It's a crown. I think a tiara is one that is not, you know, a full circle and just has the.
It's a half a crown. Yeah.
And a crown is an actual crown.
Ooh, gorgeous.
Beautiful.
You can hold it.
Jeez,
just Brian, do you want to wear
ashtray.
It?
Ashtray.
Don't drop it. Oh,
I do
gosh.
Have one of my own.
Adam, I know you want to put it on.
Good looking right there.
I do.
Look at
that's
that.
That's nice.
Yes, thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Royalty.
Yes.
Balancing on that hair.
Well, it doesn't move, as you know, or get wet, which is great in the shower. It has a sort of spring-loaded elastic cross at the bottom of it. Does that just keep it in shape for
it's
traveling?
For, it's for slingshots. No, I'm kidding. You put clips in it.
So you clip it on.
Right.
Otherwise, it would fall off all over the place.
It's actually a deadly weapon. No, it's not.
Well, Kirsten Hagelin, Mazel Tov, as your people would say, from Michigan.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
We appreciate the work you're doing and your candor as well. Yes, Bald Brian.
They tell me Kirsten will be at the IHOP across the street from this very station. So if you're in the L.A. area, you want to go to the IHOP on Wilshire in the Miracle Mile. They'll be between 7:30 and 10:30.
Yes, yes. So you can
meet
her.
Oh, really?
So yeah. meet me for breakfast.
All right. Get your short stack and do something for the shorties. It's a good cause. Okay, we'll take ourselves a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. More of your questions, more How Say You. We'll do that next.
Tonight, the Adam Carolla Show broadcast live from the Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. With Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, comedians Larry Miller and Patton Oswalt, David Hasselhoff, Hugh Hefner and the American Gladiators. Don't miss the rebroadcast Wednesday morning. And make sure you watch Knight Rider's two-hour movie premiere Sunday at 9 on NBC. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Hey, piece of news I just got yesterday, which was kind of nice. I told you guys I was up in Victoria, British Columbia a couple weeks ago at the Victoria Film Festival. I just found out yesterday that our movie won the Audience Choice Award.
Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. The audience votes after each movie they see.
That's
between,
huge.
Between us and a feature-length Caillou episodes. 3.5-hour Caillou. It was a live action Caillou.
Yeah.
We beat them out. So we got, and I always like that stuff. You know, it sounds corny. It's that people's choice. You know, this one's for you. But I never know who votes in the people's choice. But I love the idea that everyone went to the movie, and when they were done with every movie they saw, they filled out a card that gave it a rating from 1 to 5, and then they picked a winner at the end of the festival, and we won.
I love your movie.
Thanks, baby girl. Scott?
Good morning, Adam.
What's happening,
morning,
Scott?
Hey.
Calling from Las Vegas. Listen to you every morning.
Thanks. I think we'll be out there next week.
Well, good. Anyway, Teresa, I've got a little bit of advice for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I proposed to my ex-wife on Valentine's Day. We were at the top of the stratosphere in the restaurant, you know, beautiful romantic setting, you know.
Right.
And I proposed...
I named my Wang the Stratosphere so I can go, sweetie.
You want to go to the top?
You want to go to the top of the Stratosphere tonight? I'm good.
Exactly.
I don't want to throw up.
I can't go all the way up there. I get queasy.
Oh, Teresa, please let me take you up there. I think you're the most beautiful female radio personality I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
You're the tallest midget I've ever known.
Yeah.
So,
and anyway, I propose the following year, we get married at a nice little chapel in Las Vegas, no drive-thru, you know, the whole ceremony. And we're only married for 6 months. I take her out of a small town in northern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beautiful small town girl. She comes to Vegas and goes completely bananas.
She gets
ends up
ruined.
Being a stripper.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see her next Friday.
Olympic Gardens?
Yeah, so needless to say, it didn't quite work. So I'm going to have to vote against saying yes on Valentine's Day if he gives you that ring and just give Mom the $100.
It's a curse. Hey, Scott, how old is she or was she?
She was actually a bit younger than me, about 7 years younger than me. She was 22, and I was getting ready to turn 30.
And what do you think? I mean, just a big girl, came to the big city, eyes got big, and that was it? Pretty, started getting a lot of attention?
I really think so.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Las Vegas do that to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you come here on vacation, you think it's a great place. That's what I did. I did okay. I came here to start a business, and everything went well. And, you know, this was back in 2000. But
and what business is that, Scott?
Bail bonds.
I'm a building inspector.
Ah.
We take care of what the county building department can't handle on the Las Vegas Strip.
Mm-hmm. Lots of inspecting weld joints and things like that.
That's exactly what I do.
I'm weird
structural
that way.
Steel.
Structural steel.
Huh. Yep.
See,
that's my thing.
That's a weird thing because building inspector usually does everything, but not steel. I mean, you don't think of steel. When you think building inspector,
I think foundations.
They do everything. They do everything, but you specialize in the weld joints of the structural steel.
Right.
All right.
That's exactly what I do.
Thank
I do
you.
Everything.
All right. I knew that.
How do you do that?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
I don't know how I know things. I do know when guys work around metal. That's one of my things. And, you know, like every BS blowhard psychic, it just comes.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to sound like a jackass.
It's an intuition.
But things just jump into my head and I say them.
I believe in that.
Yeah.
You're picking up on all kinds of cues from the way he talks and the words he uses, everything he says. You just have a finely tuned intuition.
I have a big radar dish, and I spoke to people for over 10 years on the phone, and people start sounding a certain way when they're into certain things. It's pretty easy. I mean, the most basic example is the person that was molested with the little girl voice,
yeah.
And then the second cousin to her is the Hesher laugh.
I want
to
ride the pony,
You can
Daddy.
Usually pick out also a lawyer from the way they talk. You've done that
right,
a few times.
Right. There's a way that you sound when you do almost anything, when you work around those people, when that's what you do, and it hops into my head.
Later, husband.
Being an inspector, again, inspector covers probably 500 different jobs on the job site. You can inspect the way the sprinkler system is involved, you know, hooked up, the fire. Oh, there's 500 things just for fire safety, door closers, sprinklers, alarms, things like that. And then there's everything under the sun, and it's not always structural for some reason. And by the way, I've never dealt with a guy who inspected welds. I always built houses out of wood. There was never, this guy's job was never something that I did or even spoke to. It just hopped into my head.
Well, does your spidey sense tell you that Scott would have gotten a divorce even if he hadn't proposed on the cursed V-Day?
Yes, there are a lot of guys, and Scott's one of them, sadly, that look at women as it's like they're different creatures and non-human. Like they'll do that thing where they go, you know, I treated her right. I showed her. I gave her. She had a bowl of water every day.
I let her eat oats out of my hand.
I let her oats. I did that thing where I put the carrot in my mouth and I leaned through the fence in her pen and she ate that.
I fed her sugar cubes whole.
I gave her cubes. I always make sure I checked her gums almost every day.
Brushed
she never had any disease. I brushed her down with one of them palm comb brush things. Yeah, slopped her. I was great to her. Even put a space heater out in her pen during the winter.
What more could she have wanted?
But she up and left. She jumped. She got out of the barn. She took off. Yeah. You know there are guys that do this? There's women who do it, too. Those women who go like, oh, you know, all men are the same. As soon as they want, you know, and then the men who say all women or whatever. You have to assume that they're human beings. Like they're from the same phylum that you're from. You know
Very
what I'm
similar.
Saying?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, they're human beings first, and then they're either have a penis or a vagina. That's second.
Yes.
That's
yes.
second. It's not they're women first, they're men first. It's we're both humans first, and then we have different sets of genitalia.
Yes. I go through this with my girlfriends who are always trying to figure out why this guy did or didn't do something. He's just a, why would you not do that or do it? He's just a regular, he just has a penis.
Now, obviously there's differences, but none so great that it trumps being a human.
Yeah.
So it's human, you have 85 or 90% of whatever you share in common. The male and female thing splits up about 10 or 20%. Bank on the human part, treat the person like a human being first, and then as a woman second. Yes, and anytime somebody says, you can never meet anyone in this town, or I can never meet a woman, that's the same to me as when I talk to people who go, I'm a great carpenter. I can do, and I go, what do you do? And they go, I do drywall, I do framing, I do finish, I do it all. And I go, and you're good? Journeyman. How long you been out of work? 3 years. I'm like, all right, then you're no good at it. If you were good at it, your phone would be ringing off the hook. So when somebody says they live in a town, especially as big as L.A., and they go, there's nobody in the whole town. Every chick in L.A. is the same. They just want
shallow.
Coke and they want shallow.
They care
they want
about what car you drive.
Right. But tell that to your retarded buddies. Don't tell it to me, because whenever I hear you're out of work, I hear you're a crappy employee. And whenever right. I hear you're out of a relationship and you want to be in one, then I always turn it back to you. Because there's plenty of people wherever you go. Oh, let's see. Love, taking the plunge, Valentine's Day. Someone works at an IHOP.
Oh, busy day.
Hey, Nikki?
Yo, what's up, Adam?
You're 18, Nikki.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nikki the chick?
Yeah.
All right.
I know I sometimes sound like a guy, but that's because I was went to a show last night, and I'm like, the whole night.
What show?
Boston Pops. The boardwalk. Do you guys know where it's in Sac. It's somewhere in Sac.
You're in Sacramento?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Do you smoke some weed, Nikki? It's big affirmative. Ace Man, 2 for 2 this morning. So you work at IHOP?
Yeah.
It's funny. You Bong got a job at IHOP.
Yeah, I don't really plan on staying there very long, but oh my God, I didn't even know it was pancake day today right now.
The good news is they have no plans of keeping you.
Yeah, over at IHOP.
This maybe explains why IHOP moved 1.1 million pancakes last year, but only sold $625,000.
How good are those pancakes when you're high?
Pretty good. No, they have this new thing that's, all-you-can-eat pancake thing, and, I have to sit there and go back and forth and serve, these people, oh, my God, 15 pancakes, and I'm just, it's tripping my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, how can you eat all of these pancakes?
Well, your job, let me tell you something. First off, yeah, that's the catch-22 of the pancake giveaway at the IHOP. On one hand, you're generously giving away a short stack. On the other hand, the crew that comes in there, not exactly the same crowd that is at the golf course making the silent auction on Shaq's tennis shoes.
Oh, I know.
So you have a select group of society that thinks it's a great idea to save $2.99, thus not going to cut a check for $4,000 before you leave the IHOP in Burbank. Hey, Nikki?
Yeah?
How about the poor Mexican guy has to keep making those pancakes? How about a little love for him?
Oh, I know. He's I know the whole crew, and, we are such good friends. So, we sit there and we, complain about the customers behind their backs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, my best friend is the balloon girl who comes in on every Tuesday. And, so it's fun. It's whatever. But,
did you say balloon girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's a heavy set gal?
No, she isn't.
Well, she makes things out of balloons on Saturdays?
On Fridays.
On Fridays? Kids and the retarded people?
Yeah, and dude, you should see how many people get mad if she's not there. They're like, where's the balloon lady? Where is them? Like, dude, she took a day off.
Later, hosen.
I'm going to do a later hosen for us.
Hey, Nikki, you want to say, you want to do a later hosen for us? Now you know how that goes?
No, I don't. Tell me.
You do? Well, let me, give him a shot. Give Nikki a shot. Would you, Bald Brian?
Sure.
This is Dawson.
Later hosen.
Oh, I just say, Lederhosen?
Yeah, but here's the point. You go, Lederhosen.
As though you're saying goodbye.
Wait,
saying
I'm
bye.
I'm from Dusseldorf.
Oh,
I work Lederhosen.
All right, you ready?
No problem.
Here we go.
Lederhosen.
All right.
Well done.
You'll be immortalized. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, the news. T, what do you got?
Well, I was listening to Reese Witherspoon, and I felt like I was listening to Adam Carolla.
That is the thing that drives me crazy about today, right?
It's just a page right out of your book.
Wow, maybe we should hook up. We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
Carolla Show. Comedian and celebrity roaster Jeffrey Ross.
Is this a morning show or a telethon for people with bad haircuts?
HGTV's Eric Stromer is here.
What is up, dude?
Him and Adam will take your home improvement calls. We'll talk to the guy you've seen on a million infomercials, Billy Mays.
You don't need a cabinet full of cleaners. You shoot me?
And play a spirited round of Will Angie Eat It. Teresa Strasser's got the news.
It is draining being around somebody who is perpetually disappointed and unhappy.
And it's powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? You can stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live. And now, quiet. Adam Carolla.
Strasser.
Yep.
Let's make and be with the news, baby.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Barack Obama's wife, Michelle, stopped by Larry King Live last night. Larry King asked Michelle about the effect of Oprah on the Obama campaign.
First of all, I adore Oprah. The more you get to know her, the more you realize that she's just a great intellect. What she's done is that she has a broad reach. Now, she doesn't convince people. I think Americans are smart enough to want to make their own decisions, but what Oprah has offered is access to a broad base of her supporters. And what that's given Barack the opportunity to do is to just try to speak to them. So she's opened up more doors, but he's had to walk through them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think Barack's going to be it.
He's having a little bit of a surge lately. Larry King kind of stumbled through what seems to be a decent question.
Ready to be the first black, first female.
I'm who I am.
First lady.
I'm ready for it.
Sure.
That's who I am.
Never been a female first lady before.
Confusing.
You know, I just think this is a pressure-filled position.
Larry's got the word lady right in it.
Steps up into this sort of level is going to find some degree of pressure. I just don't think about it in those terms. I mean, it's in the same way that I don't think about what might go wrong. I've never spent my life sort of thinking what could go wrong, or else I wouldn't be here.
Are you ready to be the first black, first female, first mammal, first lady?
She is, in fact, a mammal.
She'd right? be the first.
I could see what he was going for.
I could see what he's going for, too.
And she did a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this leads me to my next story. Obviously, Michelle is very helpful in campaigning for her husband, Barack. You could say that Bill Clinton's pretty helpful. And, you know, people oftentimes use their wives and children and families and dogs to make them seem human to the public.
Barack's going to be the next president. I mean, let's just do some math here. Barack is going to beat Hillary Clinton, I do believe. Now, when you do this kind of math, you have to sort of sign off on stuff. It's
right.
Like, well, the Patriots will win their playoff games at home. They have two games to win. Thus, they'll get to the Super Bowl. You know, you have to sort of do things that way. I think Barack will beat Hillary Clinton. And I don't see anyone on the Republican side, especially McCain, who looks like he's going to get the nod, who's old. And we had 8 years of a crappy Republican. I feel like people are ready for change. And when people do that thing where they go, hey, man, is America ready for a black president? First off, I think Barack was done being black like 3 months ago. And 8 months from now, I don't think people are going to look at him as even black. They'll just look at him as Barack. I do think that's going to happen. It happens all the time with people of color. That's the way we work. That's the way you go, hey, there's a black guy, and eventually becomes Michael Jordan. He's not,
right.
not a black guy anymore. So Barack is undergoing that process where he's not a black candidate. He will become Barack. And I say for every one guy who's not ready for this country to have a black president, there are two guys and possibly a chick who say, I like the way that looks for this country. I like the message it sends the rest of the world and the people of this country.
Sure. And
I say Barack in 99. What the hell year is it?
08.
08, too.
His fundraising has been going gangbusters. And it's interesting what you mentioned about people sort of getting used to the idea of someone's race. A lot of experts have said that the fact that we've had black presidents on television shows and in movies prepared America
mm-hmm.
for a real black politician.
We Pedro got used Serrano.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who played Pedro Serrano in Major League's President Palmer.
Thank uh-huh. you. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
That's right. And, yeah, it seems like
Morgan Freeman's
president like every third movie.
Yeah.
Or God.
I know.
Even movies that don't have presidents, he'll come walking in a three-piece suit. With guys with earpieces and sunglasses right in the middle of the Disney flick, right in the middle of the animated movie.
It is pretty incredible, but you see images and then mm-hmm. you get used to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, Hillary is still the front runner. Both of them are raising a lot of money.
Is she still the front runner?
Yeah, I think she's still the front runner. But he's done very well. He did very well over the weekend.
I say it'll be Barack and that'll be cool. And then you'll notice no change for 4 years in your life. Just in your life. That's the part I'm curious about.
I guess
stop kicking down your doors for the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Dragging you and your friends from the coffee shop over to Gitmo.
Out of the panhandle.
Well, listen, Hillary voted for the Patriot Act twice.
All right.
McCain.
Mm-hmm.
McCain is the obvious front runner, but Mike Huckabee is not giving up. And some people suggest if Mike Huckabee ran as the VP, that could really help McCain because he lost some of the evangelicals a while back. And obviously, Huckabee has those. Would Huckabee run as VP to McCain?
I'd rather be the presidential candidate, and I'm really not even thinking about it. I doubt I'll be asked, and that's not my goal. I know a lot of people want to speculate it, but it's kind of like saying, you know, Would you be a co-host on somebody else's show? Right now, you got your own show. Why would you want to be somebody's co-host and occasionally sub? You wouldn't. For the same reason, I'm not interested in being somebody's co-host right now.
Right, because your show has crappy ratings, and the other show's much bigger, so better to be a sidekick on a much bigger, nationally syndicated, successful show.
Well, weird thing about him being VP, well, McCain,
yes.
McCain is 71, and, you know, VP, one shot away from being president. Huckabee could be our president.
Let me say this, too. As I've said before, there are, you know, easy miles and there's tough miles. My dad is 73, 74, 75. I got to check into that.
Say 76.
Well, let's see. Let me figure this out. I'm 74. Yeah, no, my dad's like 76. Could be coming up on 77.
Yeah.
No miles.
Not a scratch on him.
As I've said many times, like a crappy car that's just been put in a garage. Not a Porsche or a Lamborghini that's been put in a garage. That'd be worth something.
But McCain?
McCain's like a good old, he's like a V8 American pickup truck, but he's been to hell and back. You know what I mean? Like what McCain has been through, let's say relatively the same age as my dad, or I'll make a better argument. My dad is older than McCain.
Probably 5 years.
My dad is 5 years older than McCain, but McCain spent five of his years in the Hanoi Hilton, whereas my dad spent it watching a crappy black and white Zenith television and camped out in North Hollywood, not seeing the light of day. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
my
yeah.
dad has no miles on him.
Yeah.
You
yeah, it looks fresh
when
and
you
new.
See my dad. You can't tell how old he is, right?
No.
He just seems like a guy.
Yeah, he seems healthy. He looks good. He plays the trumpet.
He still has that new dad smell.
Okay, well, we talked earlier about candidates using their family to help promote their candidacies.
Oh, great.
Last Thursday, MSNBC's David Schuster was serving as the guest host on Tucker Carlson's show, Tucker. He commented that Chelsea Clinton was being, quote, pimped out. He used the words pimped out mm-hmm. by Hillary Clinton for her campaign. He has now been suspended for the offensive comment. He's also apologized. And Barbara Walters spoke out about the whole thing on yesterday's View.
Perhaps I feel this because of the years and all of you. You know, we are live. Sometimes you say something unfortunate. You apologize. He's getting suspended.
He apologized.
MSNBC apologized. Drop it already.
Drop it already. She's one big brag. 5 years from now, if the View's still on, she's just going to sound like wind.
I totally agree, Barbara. You say you talked to Donald Trump? Oh, little Baron is looking terrific. I know I shouldn't talk over you. I'm very sorry, Barbara.
Just called Sherry Shepherd the N-word.
We don't use that word anymore, Barbara. It's been about... I know, Joy has put on a few pounds. All right, I'll tell Hasselbeck to have another baby. It's
Hold
good
on.
For ratings.
Let me put the laugh down on my ass. Here we go. Yeah, she's so breathy these days.
Yeah.
By the way, haven't we worked pimp out, like pimp my ride and pimped out? You know, people look at a house that's been done up for Christmas with a bunch of lights and Santa Claus
pimped
and
out.
Go, pimped out that house. This pimped out really... I understand the person wasn't attempting to be flattering, but who did they offend? Pimps?
I think
men of leisure, prostitutes?
I think the
she's calling her a prostitute.
The illusion that her mother is prostituting her out for her own gain by using the word pimp.
Right, but he has a political angle, right? I mean, he has a
he's on
axe
Tucker.
To grind.
Yeah, he's on Tucker Carlson's show, obviously.
I mean, basically, isn't this what these shows do, where the lefty shows get on and they hurl, you know, sort of disguised insults at the righty, and then the righty, this is what you do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That seemed fairly mild to me.
I'd imagine getting suspended, too, is sort of, I don't want to say a badge of honor, but that's got to be sort of a goal in the back of your mind. It's like, sweet, I'm going to say something so incendiary, gets talked about, played on morning radio shows, and I'll get suspended, free pay for a couple days.
And I'll tell you what, they hate Hillary.
Yeah.
Conservative news shows, they hate Hillary.
I do think also Barack, and I guess it's that point about when he stops becoming black and starts becoming Barack, because they're going to have to take it a little easy on him, because the conservatives already get the sort of racist label hung on them anyway. And if they dig into Barack, and by the way, unfortunately, the feminist label, not the same at all. I mean, you can dig into Rosie O'Donnell all you want. No problemo. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
You can dig into Hillary, who's been considered a man for the last 12 years anyway, all you want. But if you dig into Barack, you better be careful. Because you're going to get that scarlet R on your sweat jacket, and nobody in society wants that.
That's already happened to Bill Clinton. They've already accused him because he was, you know, defending his wife.
They accused Bill Clinton of being
yes.
a racist? That, see, that's the whole point. And by the way, you guys who accuse everyone of being racist, you ruin it.
Preemptive strike.
The problem is because everyone starts tuning out. Because it's effed out now. We've used it too much to the point we're calling Bill Clinton... It's like
an office in Harlem.
I know. Good name for TV, by the way.
Surrounded by gun turrets, though, in part.
Yes, I'm sure. All
right. Condemned right now. You can't get in or out of it.
He comes in a black glider every night, right after streetlights come on, and then escapes through a tunnel.
Tunnels to work.
Well, I don't know if you saw Hillary Clinton on 60 Minutes, but one of her points was that she had already been vetted. In other words, she had already survived the Republican attack machine, and she didn't know whether Obama could.
Mm. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to get an office in Harlem. It's just going to be like 9 foot by 9 foot, and it's going to have a mannequin of me just sitting in it with a number two pencil in the wrong hand, probably be riddled with bullet holes. And every time someone puts pressure on me, I'll go, I have an office in Harlem, okay? My office. I won't mention a part where I've never been there.
But I have one, and I pay the rent there.
It's the best $622 you'll ever spend a month, just to technically say your That's office right. is in Harlem.
Wow.
Well, here's a very sad story. Unbelievably sad, a 36-year-old bride named Kim Shostrom always wanted a wedding just like the one in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
On January 19th, she finally got her dream wedding. But less than an hour into her marriage, Kim began to feel lightheaded. Her new husband, 43-year-old Teddy F. Carpides, just thought she needed some sugar. After all, Kim was once the poster child for juvenile diabetes. Literally, mm-hmm. she was in a poster for the cause, which was plastered all over subways in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Then, during the couple's first dance, Kim suddenly collapsed. When wedding guests were unable to resuscitate her, they called an ambulance. But by the time Kim got to the hospital, she had died. She died during the first dance at her wow. wedding. Doctors say she had a weak heart and had gone into cardiac arrest once before, but they never suspected her heart would give out at the age of 36.
Well, I know this. Everything happens for a reason. I like that guy who has no answer. He's confused like a native, so he just says that blanket statement.
God has a plan.
I believe everything happens for a reason. Had to be an uncomfortable conversation with the dad when he's like, boy, this is tragic. Honeymoon still on, or...
Extra ticket?
No.
It's not refundable.
Can I get a few minutes alone? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's got owner.
That is sad.
That's some kind of record.
I would really have mixed feelings about that if that happened to me.
See, mixed?
Hmm? Just what'd I say?
Mixed feelings.
I said tragedy, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
That would, oh, my God.
36 years old. A first dance at the wedding.
Very tragic.
Look, you know, my first off, I get on the PA system. I'm like, okay, listen, everybody, cash bar, I'm going to go ahead and lift that for the next 45 minutes, only on well drinks, by the way, and domestic beer. As far as that move where we lift her up in the chair, I guess that's still on. Who's got some duct tape? Let's go ahead and do that. And, hey, single gals, you know, it's not often the gal who catches the garter gets married that day. It's usually something that goes on later in the year, as legend would have it. But we still got the Veterans Hall for about another 4 hours and 20 minutes. So who wants to party? Oh, God, that is sad.
It is so sad.
How old was she?
She was 36, and you got to imagine... that the funeral must have been very close to the wedding.
Right.
You know, well, wedding was the 19th.
You can make an argument for doing it the same day. You don't have to change.
Yeah.
Right? At the church.
Right at the church.
All right. Sad in a weird way, but another way,
paid for
sort of eerily beautiful.
Yeah.
She died on her wedding day. You know what I mean?
Right.
When are we going to die? You know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die having an argument with some guy at a gas station through 9 inches of Lexan. I'm going to be going, no, not the payday.
No.
Not over there.
No. Oh, my no. heart. Oh, God. God damn. Habib, call 911.
No.
No, I don't 212? What is that? Call, pick up the phone. What do you mean, do I have $10?
No,
I'm not going to leave a deposit. No, it's a local call. I don't know if it, no, I don't think it would be 800-911. I think it's just 9. I don't think it shows up on your bill. I've never, my heart. Give me a Gatorade. No, not the Mountain Mist. Give the orange. Fine. Give me the Mountain Mist. Fine. 911, Habib. Oh, Christ. My life is flashing before my eyes, and the whole last half is me arguing with you. Call the. No, you don't have to. No, the ambulance guy doesn't pay you. I don't know if he wants to gas up or not. Couldn't he just. Look, use my cell phone to call 911. $5?
No.
Look, I can't get the cell phone under the well.
No.
Can you open the door?
No.
But I'm having a heart attack.
No.
Look, can I borrow a gas can?
No.
Look, I'm going to need to drive my car to a hospital.
No.
Can you just go ahead and phone ahead? Phone Cedars. Tell them we got a cardiac patient that's coming in.
No.
Okay, give me the Milky Way then.
No.
Okay, look, my cell phone doesn't work. I have to use a payphone. Can you make change for a dollar?
No.
Is there anyone? Is your manager there? Can I talk to him?
No.
He went doing what he loved, complaining.
Yeah. Well, there'd be that. You would go doing what you love. The timing is very poignant.
She died beautifully on the dance floor.
Very poignant. Reese Witherspoon was on Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
Pimping out, as they'd say on the Tucker Carlson show. Her new movie, Penelope, she was asked about raising children and what she thought about bullying.
I think, you know, we all sort of deal with that, either in our own childhood or raising children. That's sort of the formative experiences. I wouldn't want my children to miss out on any of that teasing and bullying. And don't you think it kind of makes you who you are when you don't make the soccer team, when you can't? This is the thing that drives me crazy about today, right? Everybody wins the award and, everybody's an MVP. No, they're not. Okay, I distinctly recall the 2 weeks of crying because I didn't make the volleyball team. It made me interesting, you know?
Yeah, there you go. That's how you build up calluses, everybody. You work with your hands a little bit and you toughen them up.
I just threw
up
in my mouth.
Reese.
Reese. By the way, her ex-husband, Ryan Philippe, is talking to the press.
It's not Felipe, Ryan Philippe.
Felipe.
That was Philippe.
Philippe.
Well, he's got three. I know it's not Philippe. It's either Philippe or Felipe.
Let's go with Felipe.
Ryan Philippe.
Yeah, no, Ryan Philippe.
That's how it is. Ryan Philippe.
Ryan Philippe. Is talking to the press. He wants you to know that there was no other woman involved in the demise of his marriage to Reese Witherspoon, despite reports that his relationship with Abby Cornish was the problem. He talked to W Magazine and wanted to make it clear that his current girlfriend, the actress Abby Cornish, had nothing to do with the demise of his marriage. He says he had difficulties in that relationship in his marriage long before he ever met Abby, and he doesn't want her to be called the other woman.
Let me tell you the problem with that. Abby's a hot name, and so is Cornish. Abby Cornish is a hot name. That's why if I cheat on my wife, I'm going to do it with Gertrude Higginstaller.
She's not the other woman.
It's like, Adam, were you seeing Gertrude? come on, buddy.
Well,
seriously, Gertrude Higginstaller? I don't think you'd get questioned as much as you'd get if you got Abby Cornish.
I don't either.
She sounds hot.
The rumor is that Reese Witherspoon found an email from hot-sounding Abby Cornish,
mm-hmm.
and that's what caused her to file for divorce in October of 2006. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news powered by MSN. Have you gone to MSN.com today?
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
By the way, Ryan Philippe.
Philippe?
Philippe. Ryan Philippe is on my list just under Billy Bush for some reason of guys I don't like for no reason.
Oh, wrong.
I have no reason not to like him. I know nothing about him. I've not seen much of his work. Just don't like him.
I think it's a lot more likely he got an email from an Abe instead of an Abby.
Mm.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Hey, John.
Good morning, Ace Man.
You say food stamps made Americans fat?
Food stamps and welfare make Americans fat.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, we're agreed then.
Oh, we're on the same page. Yeah. Well, this is why I don't like giving people stuff, because I think it makes them soft. I was driving into work today listening to the AM station and listening to the news, and there was a story about heating oil. There's a shortage of heating oil. And in Connecticut, the guy lives in an apartment, and the manager of the apartment, or the owner of the apartment, said, free heating oil. You pay your $900 a month rent, and that comes with heating oil. Well, the heating oil ran out, and the guy called the owner of the apartment repeatedly to say, I need heating oil. But guess what? He never got his call, never returned the call. But then what happened? Rent came due, and he didn't pay his rent. And what happened? The manager called immediately because he wanted his rent. So that's the difference. You can call till you're blue in the face, but until that guy's missing something he wants, he doesn't return your call, and then he'll immediately return a call. To me, most of the handouts, most of the welfare, most of that stuff is just that. You're expecting the guy to do the right thing, except for there's no motivation. And motivation is what gets the guy to pick up the phone and go put the heating oil in. Now, that's sad, but that's the way it works, and I've signed off on it, and I understand it. You want the heating oil put in your apartment? Don't write the rent check. Hence, heating oil. You hoping that guy's going to do the right thing? Keep wishing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Good news, Brian.
Yeah.
Are you sitting down? This is exciting.
No, I'm not. The show's on.
Billy Mays, everybody.
Oh, kaboom.
This is the man behind OxyClean and the Hercules Hook.
The Ding King.
The Ding King. He's the man with the black beard and the black hair.
Black is a color. His beard, light cannot escape from it. So it's something other than black.
Yeah, that's like a good point.
Yes. Yeah, matter collapses into it.
Light passes through things that are, like, I could hold up some black cheesecloth and light would pass through it. And also, you can see people's flesh through the black, but not his beard and not his hair. He fills out doctors like no man on the planet. I have a million questions for Billy Mays. He sold over 300 million units. Of
that's just that one product, yeah, whatever that one was.
300 million units of Kaboom?
Yes. No, OxyClean. I think it was the powder stuff.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with him next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show from just about every infomercial you've ever seen.
You don't need a cabinet full of... You don't need a cabinet... You want to do it? No, I mean, it'd be nice if you could, you know, show me how you did it on TV. You don't need a cabinet... What is it? Who was it? You don't need a damn cabinet full of cleaners. Yeah, you don't need a cabinet full of cleaners. You shit me.
And that's why you need a voiceover guy. Billy Mays on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is a thrill. Billy Mays.
Hey, Adam.
Great to speak to you.
Great to speak to you.
You know, I'd like to use you for services beyond products. Like, I feel like if I was ever getting a divorce or had a dispute with a neighbor or needed to settle anything, I'd just call in Billy Mays. I could go to the bullpen. Billy'd come out, and Billy would straight. When we were done, the neighbor would be like, okay, I'll move.
That's right. I'll give him a verbal whiplashing. Weddings, showers, divorces, you name it.
I just feel like if I ever get divorced, if I call Billy Mays in, I'd pay you a couple grand, but you'd save me millions of dollars. My wife would be like, all right, where do you want me to sign? How much child support do you want me to pay, Billy?
No problem.
Oh, God, love you. Billy Mays, I reckon you're on TV more than any other human being. Would you say that's fair?
I really don't know. I don't ever see myself, but I hear about it.
You don't watch yourself on those late night infomercials?
If I'm up, you know, channel surfing, sure, I look for myself, but and I don't, you know, I stop. I watch to see what I'm selling, to see how it looks, and see if the network cuts me off at the end. But you know, I've been doing this for 10 years, Adam. You know, under the radar for the first 4 or 5, but then once OxyClean and Kaboom became a household name, I guess you're above the radar. And it's pretty exciting.
OxyClean, by the way, and Kaboom were two guys that were in the plane that hit the tower.
Yeah, you know,
Ahmed Adnan, OxyClean.
Kaboom came out at the wrong
Muhammad
time.
Kaboom.
Numer gladiators.
You can't say Kaboom in an airport.
Right. No. Did Kaboom come out at the wrong time?
It did. And then we put it on hiatus for a little bit. And
really?
It was bad timing.
Let me ask you this. Can I ask you this? this than Billy Mays. Worst timing, Kaboom after 9/11 or AIDS, the dietetic chocolate coming out in 1986?
You decide.
So, Billy, let's talk about your journey. How do you get started? How do you become America's hawker?
You start on the boardwalk in Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
and you work for the number one company, which was National Kitchen Products. Ed McMahon sold the Ginsu knife for them. Charles Bronson, short-lived, stint with them.
But, what did he? What was he selling Ginsus too?
I don't know. He was scaring people.
I felt like I grew up seeing Ginsu knife commercials, Pocket Fisherman commercials. There was the buttoneer, the thing that put buttons on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, well, you know, the thing is, everybody sold the Ginsu knife. That was 25 years ago. I went out for a pack of smokes, never came back with a buddy of mine. I'm from Pittsburgh, went to Atlantic City. And to make a long story short, I learned from the best people in the world, some of the strongest pitchmen you'll never hear of.
So you were out literally on the streets?
Well, on the boardwalk, yeah. Yeah, right there.
And you're selling Ginsu knives on the boardwalk.
Yep.
And your whole pitch is, I will stab your ass if you don't buy this knife.
I was actually selling everything you can imagine. I was selling flower arrangers, massage pillows, anything that they just throw you on in the beginning.
Billy, what made you such a great pitch man even at the very beginning?
It wasn't at the beginning. Is this Teresa?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? It was a lot of hard work, a lot of dues. I was actually back home during Thanksgiving. My father had a tape of me from 1986 for my first infomercial, and it didn't sound like me. It's like, hi, Billy Mays. You know, I got to give him, hi, Billy Mays here for Mighty Putty. You know, the ultimate polymer that fixes and seals everything fast to make it last.
I got to tell you, I was over at Jimmy Kimmel's house a few nights ago, and there was the Mighty Putty.
Oh. I heard.
And he doesn't even know what he's going to do with it. I think he's just going to make it a cannoli and eat it or something. I'd explain to him he had to stop eating. He couldn't pass it. But he just sees the commercial. I mean, that's the ultimate hawker right there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what Mighty Putty does.
What doesn't it not do? You see, T?
Yeah.
Mighty Putty's been around for about probably 15, 20 years. It was a plumber's putty. And it's been probably sitting on store shelves collecting dust. I mean, actually sold quite a bit, but hey, when you put it on TV, you stack them high and watch them fly.
What has been the number one seller for Billy Mays and company out of all the Hercules hooks and the hand switch, the remote handy switch, the one you just put on, you can operate lights?
Yeah, that's very strong right now. Products come and go, and handy switch is on its ride right now, and it's already peaked, and it's getting ready to go into retail. It is in retail. Mighty Putty is probably one of the biggest products, but I don't know how long it's going to last. Hopefully it'll last for years, but when you hit something like an OxyClean, and then you're known as the OxyClean guy, mm-hmm. the boom's not as strong, but when you could top sales at one time, we did $400 million in 1 year.
It's
probably tapered down quite a bit.
And Billy, do you get a taste of the profits?
Oh yeah, you got to get a little taste. It'll wet my whistle.
So you're a very wealthy man.
I'm mentally rich, slightly overdrawn, but mentally rich.
And your family? Now, what business were they? All hawkers?
No, actually, I was in the trucking business with my father. We removed hazardous waste. So I used to sell our service back in 77, 78.
Those were all mobsters.
Yeah, it was tough. I came to New Jersey.
Boom, right in the river.
Yeah.
So, no mother hawker?
No, father hawker.
I just want to say mother hawker.
Nice. Mother hawker. No, actually, my newest product is the Steam Buddy. Mm. It's the professional iron. My family was in the iron and steel business. My mother would iron all day, and my daddy would steel all night. I had to get that one in.
So, can I pitch you a couple of my ideas? Because I really think we could make some money.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's the American dream,
All right, Billy Mays, first off, dig this. This is one of my oldest ideas. It's never caught on, but I feel like it could be huge. Shotgun beer. It's just a regular cheap domestic beer, but it's got a pull tab on both sides. You have shotgun beer parties, guys getting slammed. It's controversial.
You don't
all over.
Stab the beer can.
You don't have
with
no. You know how many ballpoint pens I've gone through just in the last week trying to shotgun a beer. Pull tab both sides. We just contract out with some cheap beer company. Instead of, you know, $2.69 a sixer, we sell it for $4.69 a sixer. And all they have to do is put a tab pull on the bottom of the can. It costs 20 cents.
What do you say?
I tell you what, it's probably something I'd try. Hi, Billy Mays here for Shotgun Beer. Blow your brains out with one six-pack.
No, you do that thing where you go, I do that thing and I walk in, I'm confused. I'm like, hey, Billy, I got a problem. The movie starts in 12 minutes. It's a chick flick, and I'd like to cop a buzz. But what do? I don't have time to down a 12-pack. Then you jump in, Billy.
No problem. Shotgun beer in 6 minutes, 8 minutes, it doesn't matter. We'll get it done for you.
And then you toss me the keys, and you go, you drive.
That's right. That's a good one. That's
you like
a,
you the know, shotgun beer?
You know what? Probably years ago, I would have really liked it.
How about this one? Billy, you strike me as a meat eater. You enjoy steak and some ribs every once in a while?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, when I go to a rib joint, they always do that thing where I get the rack of ribs, and they go, do you want the beef ribs or you want the baby back? And I go, ooh, man, I know they're so succulent, the pork ribs, but then the beef ribs are so big, and one has more flavor, the other's bigger on the bone. Like, what do I do? It's always a Sophie's choice for me. How about this? I combine the pig and the cow to create an animal called a pow. And all we do is get the ribs, like a turducken. You know what I mean? Like the greatest ribs ever. Like if you were ordering out and they said, hey, you want the beef ribs, you want the pork ribs, or you want the pow? I'd go with the pow ribs.
I would.
Now get
I
your
would.
Scientist to work on that. Here's another. I got a few. I got a few here, Billy.
All right, bring them.
How about this one? Very simple. And this I'm serious about. Space heater with a timer on it. You know, you have the space heater, you turn it on in your office, and some have a timer in that, well, it'll stay on for 2 hours, but I'm talking about a clock timer on it. Now, dig this. You wake up early every morning, your house is cold, you go into the bathroom, the tile floor is cold. What if you had a space heater just sitting in there that was set to go off at 6 a.m. and stay on till 7 a.m. every morning? You woke up at 6:30, walked in, your bathroom was toasty warm. Just a cheap space heater you could get from Home Depot. You put a clock in it, a little digital clock on the top, costs $4 a unit. Pow, you got a space heater, and you save yourself electricity.
I like that because, you know, there's been a lot of controversy with these space heaters, and it would be just like, you know, what they put on the coffee pots or the coffee makers.
Right,
you know,
it's on a coffee maker. All right, Bill, let's do a little role-playing
here. I like
that
one. I'll get back to you on that.
Ooh, Bill, I can barely talk. My lips are blue. My teeth are chattering.
What's that?
So come on, Billy, we're doing role-playing now. I want you to hawk my space heater.
Do you need a safe word?
When you get up in the morning, before you smell the coffee, your lips won't be blue. Your teeth won't be chattering. I tell you what, with our space heater, this is the ultimate. It gets you heated while you're actually sleeping.
Billy, how much is something like that? $1,800? $2,000?
No, not $1,800. Not $1,500. Not $900. Not $8. Not $7. Not $6. Only $99.99. But wait, there's more. I'll even include a Ginsu knife.
Awesome. And a pocket fisherman.
That's good.
Hey, Billy Mays?
Yeah.
You ever get out to L.A.?
I do. Actually, I'm getting ready to, waiting for a call from the Leno show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you've arrived.
Yeah, Letterman, I'm getting ready. I just had my hip replaced 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about carpentry. You know, it's amazing what they do.
You can just use the Ding King.
Ronco made the hip, actually.
It's Ronco's new hip. We popped it out with the Ding King, and all is well.
So when you heal up, you'll come out to L.A. and do the circuit.
I'm going to do the Letterman show. I'm actually doing Fox and Friends in New York here in about 2 weeks.
Well, come see us in person.
I would love to. I was on a classic rock station a couple years back in L.A. I don't know which one it was.
Probably KLOS, but it could have been. Well, I don't know. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was actually cleaning a stain in the radio, you know, at the station, and You know, I walked out of there, went back to the show. Oscar De La Hoya was there. Everybody was there. You know, a bunch of, it was a big grocery store down in Long Beach. And someone said, actually two people said, I saw you on the radio. So when I get there live, it, you know, and we do some things, it's pretty ultimate. You know, it's amazing. We could, you could do that. You get people to say, I saw you on the radio. It's pretty good.
We'll bring the Ding King. I'll bring the kaboom and we'll have a party. Please. Billy Mays, everybody.
Hey, Adam, thanks. Teresa, thanks.
Good times.
Keep it clean.
All right. You like the space heater?
Again, I feel like Billy, although he's doing a decent job hawking this crap, you using him for more personal issues would be better.
He should come over to your place and read all your product instructions to you. Because you sort of lose, once you see the huge long list of how to work everything, you sort of lose your momentum. Then he's like, just reads the product instructions and you get all excited again about getting your new product.
Yeah. I could see that. I'd be surreal hanging out with him. And speaking of hanging out with someone, Eric Stromer, super dreamy, hunky. Eric Stromer, HGTV, over your head. He's coming in. We'll take your home improvement questions next. 866-901-ADAM. He is a bona fide expert.
Especially in tile. But he knows everything.
Yeah. He was a tile contractor, but I may have been a general as well. Look, people go, hey, how do you know Ty Pennington doesn't know anything, and then how do you know Eric Stromer knows something? Because I know something, you idiots. And it's real easy to figure it out. It's a weird thing. People always go like, hey, do you know, or are you making that stuff up? No, I know.
Let me ask you this, because you guys have advanced knowledge, but can our callers inquire about everyday
Absolutely
issues?
Not. This is really about me and Eric. So please don't bother us.
You know, things that... You know, our listeners could actually do in their homes, need help with?
Look, if you're building, let's say, subterranean parking lot, give us a buzz. But if you want to hang a picture, you call Billy Mays. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
I'm not slumming it.
All right.
866-901-ADAM. Eric and I will tackle any question you have, and we'll do it next.
From HGTV's Over Your Head.
Ever notice home improvement projects all start with the best intentions and end with, well, some never end?
Eric Stromer and the Ace Man are taking your home improvement questions at 866-901-ADAM.
Case in point?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Even dreamier in person.
Thank you very much.
And what a personality.
Thank
T,
you.
If you weren't spoken for, yes?
I love Eric. He's a great carpenter, great father.
Mm-hmm.
And a great lover.
Great television personality.
Thank you so much.
And the real deal. Knows his business. Specifically tile, but you've done everything.
Everything.
Right?
Under the sun. I can't stop.
Well, let's see if you can stump us.
And there he is.
Caleb?
Yeah, it's Caleb.
Oh, Caleb. You have a question?
Yeah, man. I'm... Good morning, everybody.
Hi,
morning.
Caleb.
I figure between you and Stromer, you guys probably can figure this out, because I can't find anything anywhere on the internet how to do it. Mm-hmm. I got aggregate floors in my bathroom, and I want to get rid of it. I don't know what's the best way of going about that, if I got to just chisel it up or if there's something better that I can do with it.
Mm-hmm. Is it the terrazzo look? Is it that thing?
It's the Pebble Tech.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking jackhammer. What do you want to do over it?
Well, I want to do tile, but then that's the thing, too. There's two layers of it, because the original owners, the first color they didn't like, so instead of redoing it, they just put another different color layered on top of it.
By
so
the way, terrazzo, quiet. Terrazzo is that stuff you see at the airports from the 60s. It's kind of cool. They pour all this marble dust and stones and everything. They put it in a binder, and then they hit it with a huge grinder, and they grind it, and they polish it. So it looks like you have a polished stone floor, but it's really poured in place. I think it's pretty cool. It's making a comeback. I'm not sure why he wants to get rid of it. Maybe it's in bad shape. Caleb?
Yeah, it's in a little bit bad shape. And I'm going to remodel my bathroom anyway. So I might end up on Eric's show here in about 6 months.
Well, call me. Hurry up. I want to get rid of it.
Are you on a slab?
Yeah, it's on a slab.
All right. How about if you're going to put tile down, you just put it on top of that? Because that stuff's probably only 3/4 inch thick or something like that. It's not that thick.
Well,
you're not going to buy yourself that much space.
There's two different layers of it, so it's actually about an inch and a half thick.
Okay. Well, you'd buy yourself that inch and a half if you jacked that out and got down to the slab, and it'd be better to put the stuff down on the slab. So why don't you just get one of those chipping hammers?
I was hoping there'd be an easier way.
That's pretty easy. Once you rent the thing for about $50 from one of the local hardware stores, it comes out in about 20 minutes. And it's actually kind of fun. Get all your anger out. You're done. Put a dust mask on, some goggles. Get your wife next to you to watch you, and I think she'll really be into you again.
Yeah. Chip it off. Get it smooth. Clean it up. Make sure it's dust-free. And then you can go ahead and put your thin set down with your notch trowel and put your new tiles in place.
All right, well, I'll give it a hack, and then I'll be giving Eric's show a call here in a couple months and have him come out and actually help me do it right.
Yeah,
I
good
can't
times.
Wait. Yeah, do it. I'd love to meet
this
you.
This is amazing.
Thank you. Hey, Paul?
Yeah?
You want to replace a door jam?
Yeah, I had to break into my house a couple weeks ago and ruined it with a shovel.
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
You guys ever done that thing where you just busted a window or kicked in a door?
Yes. The slat, you know, those little louver slat windows.
Yeah.
I busted a bunch
of
those. I hate those windows.
They are hideous. I can't believe people still have those.
And you can remove the slats of glass. I mean, there's no weaker security window than that. You can just actually just, the rapist can actually, it actually just says welcome rapist, right? Right on the glass. You can slide out the glass, set it aside, and just reach in and climb in, no problem. Hey, Paul? Sorry, so door jam.
Yeah.
Now, what the door jam is what people call the door frame. It's the piece of wood that the door swings on, essentially. And you want to replace it.
Yep.
Okay, here's how to do that. First, you got to get yourself a utility knife, a box cutter, a razor, right? And you got to drag it along the casing. The casing is the molding that goes outside of the jam that it basically attaches to the jam and to the king stud or the trimmer or the wall. Drag it on there so you can pop it off, because if you don't drag it on there and you pop it off, it'll take the wallpaper, the paint, it'll tear. You understand? So score it well, then take yourself just a little flat chisel or something and start working it off. Pop all the casing off. Are you up to this, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, once you've popped the casing off, then you can go ahead and grab yourself some nipper, dykes, wire cutters or something, and pull the finish nails out of the casing.
Okay.
Don't try to bang them through the other side. It's just going to make a hole. Just pull them through the backside.
Okay.
So they'll pop right through. Now the jam. Little bit tougher. You got to pull the door off first. Now, when you're done pulling the casing off, you'll be looking at the exposed 1x4, 1x6, whatever it is, jam.
Okay, now the fun begins.
Now what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take a reciprocating saw, bayonet saw, or sawzall.
They go by many names.
Yes.
Right.
And you're going to want to get one of those babies. You're going to put a metal cutting or bi-cutting metal blade on there, and you're going to want to drop it. There'll be a space between the trimmer, the very last stud, and the jam. The studs will be 2x4s, and the jam will be 1x material. There'll be a little gap there. You drop it in that all the way around. Go all the way around, up and down and over the top, and the whole thing will just pop out.
We're having a ball out here.
Got it?
Got it.
All right, now the new one.
Now, this is interesting.
Now, here's the tough part, because you're going to have to mortise a hinge.
So, we've accomplished our mission.
And I'm not sure if you can handle morticing a hinge.
How about a pre-hung door?
Nice to talk to you.
Good point. Do you need a new door as well?
No, door's fine.
Is it a house or apartment?
This is a garage door off the side of the garage there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it up to code? Is it a fire door?
It's just a hollow door.
No, you gotta get a new door. Get it.
Get a solid core door.
There
what kind
go.
Of white trash has a hollow core exterior door? And the next thing you know,
again, inviting rapists.
Yes, welcome rapists.
Right.
When I see an 1 3/8 interior hollow core door on those 3.5 inch hinges, probably not NRP hinges with the non-removable pins. Paul, come on, you're inviting rapists to your home.
It's male rape. Forget it. Get
inside
it.
The glory hole.
Yes. How about you get yourself a nice, solid core pre-swung door?
Okay.
All right. And listen, you have stucco on the outside of?
Certainly.
You have stucco. So you have stucco molding. You don't have casing. I thought you were talking about an interior door.
Oh, it is casing. It fits to the outside.
Oh, really?
Boy.
It's a class look. All right, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm with Stromer on this. Get a, measure it up, go down to the Home Depot and get yourself an 1 3/4 solid core exterior door like a man would and put a deadbolt on it for the love of Christ. All right, let's see. You want to talk to, Master bedroom, master bathroom, shower.
How about line 7, Jeff?
Line 7? All right. Let's talk to Jose on line.
It never gets old.
No. Jeff?
Hello.
What's up? What's your question?
I have a drafty front door, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you have a draft coming in under the door.
Yeah, pretty much. And through the side, you can actually, if you're sitting in front of it, you can see light shining through from, like, the outside.
All right. It is winter time, so a lot of people feeling that. Also, people trying to save electricity. Now, they always talk about, you know, the Prius and all these hybrids and all this kind of stuff. But what about your house? What about all the heat that's pouring out underneath the door and all the cold that's coming in from the side of it? Stromer here, Eric Stromer, that is. We need to take ourselves a break. Stromer, you got some ideas on this one?
Yes, I did. Weather stripping, baby. That's what we want you to do.
Are you guys sitting down? Because we're not only going to talk weather stripping.
Yeah. What else?
Foam and the sprung copper stuff. But yes. I'm going to start talking about sweeps and thresholds.
Yes!
This is nice.
Yes!
That's right.
Stromer here.
We'll Cooch?
We'll talk more home improvement. Over Your Head, name of the show, HGTV. Quick break back with the rest of your questions next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
So, you don't have this labeled. How do you know this is Jesse Jackson's shoe?
Yeah, because we have it here. We have in the tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, whose shoe is...
This is Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby's shoe.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I saw that episode, sadly. He was talking to this cobbler from Cuba, couldn't speak a lick of English, and he'd keep holding up the shoe and go, this is Burt Bacharach's shoe. But he just hold one shoe. I'm like, well, so how's that work? You just return one shoe or you made a third shoe? And he'd bring up all these guys. This is Merv Griffin's assistant's shoe. He dropped it off in 1972.
I had a surreal moment yesterday or the day before. I was listening to NPR. Very dry discussion about whether or not they should be allowed to put a road through part of a state park. The surf riders were mad because I guess they surf there. Huell Hauser called in to the show to defend, to say that they shouldn't put anything on that.
Huell Hauser's everywhere. He comes to me in my dreams.
What does he say?
He just talks about shoes.
And rocks.
Speaking of dreamy, Eric Stromer, host of Over Your Head, HGTV.
What a segue. That was nice.
Saturdays, 11 a.m., Thursdays, 11:30 p.m., Mondays.
Howdy, how you doing?
8:30. That's what Eric hears when he closes his eyes every night. All right, your home improvement questions, but what about our homes? We got the little ones running around. Eric and I were just having a discussion. It turns out we have daughters that are the same age and sons, or I have a son and a daughter who are the same age as Eric's.
That's right.
Daughter,
yeah.
Yes?
Willow, yeah. And I offered Adam a quart of yak milk every Christmas as a dowry so that my son can marry the daughter. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, since Trader Joe stopped carrying the yak milk, we're running short.
We are.
It's hard to get. You have three kids, Eric.
Three of them.
And we're talking about, I feel like I grew up being spoon-fed this crappy, poisonous diet of how men and women are only different because society places that upon them. Like, we give the little girls dollies and we give the little boys guns and cars, and if they just left us alone, that the guys would play with dollies and the girls would play with guns. And then you have kids and you realize, oh, this is just a lie perpetuated by angry lesbians, right? I mean, yeah. Isn't that what it is?
And my son wears a skirt and my daughter has a big hunting rifle.
The girls are nuts, by the way. You learn that very early.
Right. My daughter climbs, and I was telling Adam on off air a couple of minutes ago that my son had the stomach flu, and I was scraping the remains from the last evening off the carpet, and while that happened, my daughter fell and cut her chin on the bathtub because she was trying to climb up on the windowsill like some sort of an acrobat. So my sons never did this. I think the little girls are really active. Do you feel the same way? It's a whole different feeling.
Here's how it works. Daddy decides he's going to take a load off and watch himself a little entertainment tonight on his TiVo. I sit down on the sofa. My son is quietly going away. He's got daddy's little car and he's pushing it around. He's going broom, 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 broom. He's with him. He's entertaining himself. He's self-contained.
Right.
He's surrounded himself with a bunch of plastic cars. He's sitting in the corner on the carpet, and he's arranging the cars in different orders. Daddy's trying to find out what's going on with Britney Spears, and then Natalia comes running up, and she hands Daddy a book that's 4 inches thick with pictures of every animal that was on Noah's Ark. And she hands it to me, and she says, bah, bah. You know, she pushes it at me, bah, bah. And she sits there, and then she opens it, and she points. And each page has a picture of 35 animals, and she points it. Bah, bah. I go, that's a chintilla. Bah, that's a yak.
Wait, does she already bah. Know Daddy can't read?
That's an owl. Yeah, I'm just guessing. I'm just looking at what's closest. She doesn't know the difference between a parrot and a macaw, sweetie. She's not going to call me out on it. And then she goes, bah, and I go, that's a parrot. Bah, that's a sea lion. Bah, that's a whale. She points at every single one on the one page. Then Daddy flips. Now, and actually, we'll double back. I said that was a yak, bitch. How many times I got to tell you? That was number 128. Remember yak? We clearly went over yak. Now he's missed something that Brittany's done again. So then she turns the page, and there's like 40 pages. And she turns the next one is now 2 pages open with 700 animals. And she goes, bah. Bah, she points it. The point is she needs me to do something with her all the time.
Right.
Interactive. She hops on my lap. She grabs me. She points at things. She throws books at me. Whereas the son, he just goes off into the corner.
Right.
And he just plays with his cars.
I always heard boys were more rambunctious and more difficult.
In my case, no. I have 2 sons, a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. And as Adam's saying, they'll do their thing after a while. After they've said, Bob, please help me do something. And you say, I can't because I have to address this little girl now for the rest of time. They'll find their own thing to do. But she is completely insistent and willful. And I came in last night for my mom. She's babysitting my daughter. And I heard my mom off in another room going, for the love of God, this is a hell child. And I was like, hi, Mom. And she was like, oh, hi, honey.
Yeah, the boys are more physical normally and will get into trouble because they'll climb a tree and fall out. But they are self-contained. All you got to do is get that little bugger, a Heath kid, on his 9th birthday and like a soldering iron. Right. And he'll just be down in the basement happily trying to create a woman.
Did you care, Eric? Did you want boys or girls? Or-
No, it was irrelevant. But now I'm glad I have the 2 sons. But the little girl does absolutely transform you into the intimacy place so rapidly, where you're just like, oh man, this is beautiful. It's a whole different feeling. The kids, the boys want to squirm and run away from your arms, but the little girl wants to be there, and she wants to kind of hook into the subconscious and make you feel loved. It's really nice.
They're calorie burners.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
It's exhausting to have all that intimacy.
It really is. And my family has a rich heritage of all the daughters hating their dads.
Right.
So, it goes way back.
Right. Yeah, but look at you. You're pointing out the animals. You're interacting. You're engaging.
It's like that scene in The Deer Hunter where she's yelling, Mao.
Right.
Mao. Mao. She points at the next one. Mao. That's a gazelle. Mao. The zebra. Mao. Every once in a while, I get stumped and the book's upside down for me and I have to try to turn it around. Then she gets mad when I, pause.
Right.
And I just start making stuff up. And like I said, she'll double back. We'll hit the same animal twice. Jeff? Jeff, you have a draft coming underneath your door and you see daylight around your door. What the hell happened to Jeff? And I just punched him up. Did he drop off?
He set himself on fire.
Hmm. All right. Something's up with the phone. Shouldn't I hear something when I punch
him? Are you on line 7?
I am now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
What's up?
All right. So, yeah, there's just cold air getting in through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I can see light going through, too. So.
Yeah. All right. So what they have is weather stripping, and they have many different varieties of weather stripping. But the easiest for a guy like you to do is just the foam adhesive stuff, right? So you go get, they make 1,000 colors and 1,000 thicknesses. You go down to the Home Depot. You get yourself a roll of it. It's like 25 feet long. You clean off the door jamb. You peel off the adhesive back, and you literally just stick this foam onto the door jamb.
Awesome.
Do you think you can handle that?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let me explain something. Go ahead and look at it. You're not really going to be able to measure it, but look at it. And the foam weather stripping is cheap. Buy a couple different sizes because you might find that you find one that works good on the hinge side but not on the latch side. Because there may be different tolerances. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, underneath the
door. That's the important one right there, the underneath.
Yeah. You need to do the sweep. Does your door have a sweep? It's that aluminum thing that's at the bottom of the door,
yes,
and it's got a little drip hood over it. And now that you can adjust, that you can slide down a little bit if you need to, but that's a little trickier because you'll slide it down and then you'll open the door and halfway into the door swing, it'll stop. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do that? Are you capable of lowering the sweep? And the other thing is, the sweep has a piece of rubber, sort of a half bubble of rubber that goes underneath it. That thing gets broken. It falls out. Sometimes they pull it out. They slide it out. Is the rubber intact? Can you check your sweep?
No, it's actually pulled off.
It's pulled off.
Oh, how about you replace it?
How about you buy a sweep?
All right, well.
Now, here's the thing. It's an exterior door, right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's 3 foot. It's 36 inches wide, I'm guessing.
Yes.
It's 36 inches wide. It's 1¾ inches thick.
Yeah, and it's glass panes also on it.
All right.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's another problem. There's an R value issue if it's just a single pane glass, which means the insulation factor might not be as efficient
this
as it
is
could.
Absolutely spectacular.
You know what I'm saying?
Not your dual glaze with your argon gas in the middle of it. I can dig it. But look, we're going to get you what we can. Go get yourself that foam and go get yourself a sweep.
Awesome.
And you may have to cut the sweep to length.
Okay.
And you're going to have to use a hacksaw. You up to it?
Don't have a hacksaw, but I guess I can get it pre-cut.
Where?
Just take it into the hardware store.
All right. Have fun in Home Depot, by the way. Those guys aren't going to pre-cut it for you.
True value.
How about you buy a hacksaw? It's like $4.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And believe me, I think it's going to come in handy when you're dismantling a hooker 9 years from now. Nothing goes through a hooker bone like a hacksaw. Oh, I've tried combination blades. I've tried rip blades. I've tried the plywood blades. I've tried the carbide blades. You've tried the 60-tooth carbide.
Twice. It was awful.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. Well, Eric Stromer's show comes around when someone's half done with the vivisection of a hooker and can't finish it.
Absolutely. Over your hooker, it's called.
He mops up. All right, let's see. Let's take one more. Build a garage, wood, metal. Let's talk to John. John?
Yeah, what's up?
Let's bore Teresa Strasser with just one more question.
Johnny.
Here we go.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
All right, so I'm building a 40 by 50 exterior building as a garage. I'm confused why I should build it with metal stud or wood stud like a normal framed house.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a garage, so there's not going to be two stories, right?
No, single story. It's a 12-foot eave.
I must say I have built many a garage. I've built ones out of wood, and I've done the prefab metal ones. I like the prefab metal ones.
Yeah, I'm looking at them because they're fairly inexpensive. They look good, but I don't know. Sometimes the wood frame seems like it will match the house better.
Let me say this about the metal. There's a couple advantages to using metal studs or metal frame or whatever versus wood. A, no termites eat metal, number one, and mildew and things like that. They just don't take hold with the metal. Number two, you don't realize that if you take like a 2x8 that's 14 foot long, how twisted it is, how it's going to be crowned or bowed, how there's going to be a good side and a bad side. It's hard to find lumber that's really straight. And so when you're doing wooden structures, they get a little off. They get a little crooked sometimes. You don't have to worry about that. The steel will be true. The steel is a lot faster, I think cheaper. And as far as making it look like the rest of the house, I'll tell you what I did. I had an old house, and it was an old, almost had a sort of looked like a barn. It was like from the 40s, and it had these, it had redwood siding with these redwood bats that went down like 1x2 every like foot as sort of the panel. What I did is I just skinned it with plywood, like rough sawn plywood, and then I put it right on the steel frame, and then I bought these rough sawn redwood bats, and I stapled them on every foot and covered the seams with it, and it looked just like the rest of the house when I painted it. So there's creative ways to get around it aesthetically. I'd go with the steel. Eric Stromer, what do you think?
But you don't get the aesthetic feel of cutting a piece of wood and smelling the pine in the early morning hours. You know what I'm saying? It's just, there's some about that. I don't know. I agree with you in terms of fire as well. It's a great thing to have the steel stud building, but I just like
you
the
do
wood.
Miss that feeling of yelling, hey, Jose, the pine's not cut yet. Let's go.
That's right.
I'll be drinking a Starbucks in my trailer, yelling at my daughter.
Hey, I got a supplemental part to this question.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
All right, here we go.
hey, I want to put a floor down, like one of those soft floors you find at a public playground for the cars to park on. Is that something possible, or do I have to do the standard epoxy floor on that?
We'll be back.
I've done this and just did this as well. Now, you say the soft floor in the playground. You're talking about like the foam rubber ones that are under the monkey bars?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like a recycled ground-up rubber.
Yeah, they have it all over the place now. They have different ones. They have interlocking. Well, you're talking about two different things. There's the padded one that you put down in your gym that has like interlocking puzzle fingers. And those things come in 1 foot by 1 foot squares. And they come in like 2 foot by 2 foot squares. And they just come in big rolls. And some you glue down and some float. And there's a million different. If you hop on the internet, you'll find a million different ones of those in different thicknesses, different colors and different patterns. I just put one down in my gym. It's cheap. It's cool. It looks great. It gives you a head rush because the whole room smells like somebody's been making tires in there for the last 30 years. So, but the epoxy floor is a different floor. So which one are you talking about?
They make these rubber floors that you pour on, like an epoxy. It's the kind you find at a playground.
Right.
And
oh, that kind. Okay. Yeah. Personally would probably do the tile variety, but Eric Stromer, what do you know?
Well, I mean, the pour-on is so cool because it's just one unified floor system, and it can be like an inch and an eighth thick, and it's really
monolithic,
squishy.
Monolithic, we would call it, right? The business.
Is that what you want, the real squishy feeling?
Yeah, I don't want flat spots in my tires, and I think that'll take care of it.
Yeah, right.
Now, what is that, a two-part
procedure? Yeah, I think it's a two-part epoxy.
And you, trowel it on?
Yeah, and in playgrounds, they do them over concrete slabs, and they put a glue and an adhesive on the bottom.
Okay,
and it sticks to it.
Time has passed.
All right, John, here's my answer to you. Get on the internet, because they make everything now, and the good news is they'll sell it to you. See, remember when you were growing up, you had that one cool friend, and he had like a Coke machine. His dad had like a Coke machine in the garage, or one of those freezers that was horizontal, or a neon sign, and you were like, or popcorn maker or something. Right. You're like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that jukebox or something? Yeah. But a race car bed was made. Thank you for that horrible example, Bald Brian. That was made for the consumer. There was a time when you knew one dude who had a slot machine. And his dad had a slot machine. And you were like, do you have to know somebody in the government to get a hold of that? Where did you get that thing? Where did you get that Coke machine? That turns out he knew a guy who had a gas station or whatever. Right. But now you can have that cool crap in your house. If you want, there was a time when you could only get whatever they had at the Home Depot for your house. Now you can hop on the internet and you can get the commercial grade stuff. If you want that floor in your garage, you can have it.
Right.
T?
Yeah.
You bored off your ass?
Is there more than that? Is that the ultimate in
boredom? Bored off your ass?
Can you go
she
any
was
deeper?
Dousing herself in gasoline, ready to light the match.
All right. Well, I won't torture you anymore, smarty pants. Good luck when Batman over there tries to fix something in your house.
Oh, you know what? He fixed something yesterday. It was delightful.
Really?
Yeah, you know the little...
Your broken past?
I wish. You know
there ain't enough glue to... Yeah.
Teams of therapists and epoxy could
That's
not
right.
fix my broken past. But you know when you pull the string on your closet light if you're too short to reach it? He replaced that.
Tying a longer piece of string to it?
No, he had to replace the whole fixture.
Pulled it off.
I was very impressed.
Didn't even break a nail.
Fix it, man.
Yeah. Eric Stromer, real man, host.
For the love of God, this is a hell child.
Over Your Head is the name of the show on HGTV. Great to see Eric.
Good to see you guys. Thank you.
Always a treat. Jeff Ross, the king of the roast, Jeff Ross, is in studio next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where the Ace Man found out that producer Angie has a very delicate palate. Today is National Pancake Day, so we're going to play an all-breakfast edition of Will Angie Eat It? With special guest, comedian Jeff Ross, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff Ross just walked in, so we'll bring him in next. We decided to swap him out for Will Angie Eat It because he was running a couple moments late, and we haven't played this in a while anyway. I found out.
And it makes you happy. That's why we like to do it.
I don't know why. But you know that feeling when you really like a song or a band or
movie.
Anything or a car or a movie? Let's just say you really love a movie and then you show it to someone and they're like, I didn't care for it.
No, it hurts me.
Oh, Dr. Drew and The Shining.
Dr. Drew would not see The Shining.
Why?
It's not.
I thought he saw it and hated it.
Once in a while. I sat. Okay, there's two things in movies that are going to make me mad. Dr. Drew in The Shining and my retarded carpenter buddy, Gary, and Mad Max. Now, here's where I get started. I sat next to Dr. Drew for 11 years, and you don't realize how many Shining references you'll make in the course of a month of doing radio.
Yeah, here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny. Or you go, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And Drew would always just sit and look at me saucer-eyed, and I'd go, that's from The Shining.
Red
and he'd go, I never did see The Shining. The movie's been out for 25 years. Please see the effing Shining. And then he would say, he'd always play this one. And don't you hate when people do this? I'm sorry. I was putting in 120-hour weeks over at Cedar Center. Okay, don't play the doctor card. Jesus Christ, you could get a DVD of this movie and you could see The Shining. And then he'd go, and I'd ask him every weekend, did you see The Shining? No, I did not. I'm very busy with the kids
every
and
weekend.
Soccer. Look, I'm not telling you to not drive your effing kids to soccer practice to watch The Shining, although big picture, I think it's a better call. That night, rent it and watch it at home. No, he would not do it, and it drove me insane. And then I would say to him all the time, I've seen The Shining 9 times. To me, it's one of the best horror movies of all time. I wish I hadn't seen The Shining so that this weekend I could open a bottle of Merlot and I could watch The Shining.
Right.
You don't understand what you're doing to me. That would not do it. And to this day, probably still hasn't seen The Shining. You know what? I'm going to bury him with a laser disc of The Shining. That's what I'm going to do. That
he
moment.
Can watch it in the hereafter.
I'm
going to
walk by his casket when everyone else is there going, Jesus Christ, how did Jeff Conaway smuggle that gun into rehab? This is a shame.
I think in your eulogy, you should say, all work and no fun made true. Dull boy.
This is why I'll not be able to eulogize anybody because of what just happened. We're supposed to be playing Will Angie Eat It, and I went off on The Shining for 20 minutes, and this is why I won't be able to eulogize anyone, especially Dr. Drew, because, like, he was a great man. He was a family man. He was a caring man. He supported the arts, although not The Shining. Did not see that movie. That's, keep moving? Okay. Well, like, there was a scene in The Shining, although Drew wouldn't have known about it because he never took a goddamn minute to see it. Don't get away from me! I'll grieve my way, you grieve your own. Listen, your kids, don't turn out like your dad! See, that's why every eulogy would have, because it would have to be someone you know very well, and inevitably that person would have done something that pissed you off at some point, and then I would have to broach that. All right. Producer Angie is here, and I get angry when I find out that it started about 6 months ago. I announced that Rainier cherries were the perfect food. They're the plump yellow and red cherries. They're juicier. They're twice as expensive.
They're meaty.
When they're in season, there's nothing better. Yes, it's like biting into a cherry cow. It really is. Like a cherry steak.
And Angie doesn't love this.
Nothing better than this. And I held these bags up like they held the lion up in The Lion King, and a shaft of light hit me. And I announced that this was the greatest new food on the planet. And Angie tasted one and said, don't care. Don't care for them. I said, cherries. I understand if we're talking about pate, but cherries? No, don't like them. And then I found out last week, which ruined my trip to Victoria, British Columbia, by the way, that Angie not only doesn't care for pancakes, but doesn't like waffles either. Jesus Christ. No waffles or pancakes.
Got an explanation, comrade?
And I'm the bad guy for hating you.
Now, Angie, how much do you enjoy getting berated?
I wish we could do it daily, actually.
Pancakes!
I mean, we do. We just do it off the air.
You're saying pancakes is the go-to food for kids who don't want to eat. You have to go to the bullpen and get the pancakes every once in a while when the kid won't eat the meat and won't eat the vegetables. You go, all right, just break down. Screw it. Put on Curious George and go get pancakes. We're caving. Kids got to get calories.
I can hear
in
you talking about Angie not liking the pancakes and the waffles on the way out the door to the airport with your wife. She probably loved that.
It carried into the ride to the airport and then carried through security.
She turned back around and mouthed the words, help me.
I'm sorry.
And I couldn't.
It was fresh on my mind. I just found out that producer Angie didn't like pancakes. All right, so we gamble on will Angie eat it. And speaking of pancakes, I think we're going to donate the winnings to the IHOP fund.
Yeah, it's Pancake Day, and everything goes to the Children's Miracle Fund.
All right, so let's do that. Do we have an intro?
Oh, yeah.
Kool-Aid and candy, they both strike her fancy. Twinkies and corn dogs, they both make her happy. Fresh fruits and veggies don't go near her face, 'cause Angie is stuck in the yummy phase.
It's time to play Will Angie Eat It?
And I hate to say this, but my son is probably as bad as Angie.
Picky eater?
Yeah.
What does he like?
He's 20 months, though, Angie.
I liked him better than a little girl, anyway.
I will beat this out of him, much like your dad should have done many years ago. All right, let's go with the first topic. Do we have a theme, by the way?
Yes, this is the all-breakfast edition of Will Angie Eat It?
I'm going to be livid because I love breakfast. All right. All right, and before we get started, can we please have a lederhosen out of you, Dawson?
Lederhosen.
All right, here we go. Everyone's 20 bucks, Bald Brian. Yeah. It's me, you, Teresa, Bald Brian. Everyone's got your 20 outs. Going to the IHOP. Here we go.
Hard-boiled egg. Will Angie eat it?
I'm going to say no, smells like fart. Simple as that.
That was my first instinct, too, but I know she's a runner and a triathlete, and athletes do love to eat the eggs.
She eats cotton candy and candy corn and then throws high C in her face. She runs by the second table, grabs a high C, throws it in her face, and then grabs some candy corn.
What are you saying, Brian?
I'm waiting for you.
Listen.
I will say no.
By the way, as far as tactics go in life...
Yeah.
Have you really taken a nice inventory lately?
It's called a position race.
How is it working out for you, just overall? Wow. Who gets paid the least in this room?
Teresa's got like 13, 14 years on me.
Who's the baldest? I'm just saying, perhaps you positioning and strategizing isn't the greatest plan.
Who's going to go last is why I have no hair.
Thank you.
In a way.
Finally, someone's making sense on this show.
If only I could grab a young 12-year-old Brian and shake him by the lapel. So you like that comb over? It's because you're going last all the time.
All right, T, what'd you give me on that?
I will agree with you. I don't see her eating a hard-boiled egg with reservations, but I'm agreeing.
Two no's. Bald Brian,
I say this is the hummus of the breakfast set. It's something she likes. Mm-hmm. Yes, she will eat it.
Okay, because she throws a curve at you.
Yeah.
Not who do you know who enjoys hummus and doesn't like pancakes? Okay, here we go. Two no's and a yes. Dawson,
Angie.
I mean Angie.
I will not eat hard boiled.
Yeah. All right, here we go. 1-0 for T and me.
I wish I had my pen, but I threw it at Brian's head when he attacked me.
Number
the good
two.
News is it ricocheted off and gathered speed. It's like when they slingshot a spacecraft around the moon. It actually pick up speed. If you throw objects at his head, it'll hit the shiny force field known as forehead. It'll go around, pick up speed, and come flying back
I'll
toward you.
I'll wait for it to come back into my hand.
Yeah, Alec Guinness saying that's no
I
moon.
I got killed with some whiteout that way once.
Oh, no.
All right. Number two.
An English muffin with butter. Will Angie eat it?
Because I love this one, Angie. Well, there are two ingredients, technically. I mean, there's the English muffin and then there's the butter.
But picky eaters have very specific ways they eat something. She might like an English muffin without butter. She might like butter just on her wheat toast.
Yeah, you get these people. I like cheese. I just don't like when it's melted. I like butter on my English muffin, but in a pad form. I don't like it spread out.
I don't see her eating a lot of butter because she's thin and she's athletic. But who doesn't like an English muffin with butter? I say she'll eat it.
But no, you can't factor diet in with Angie. She has an amazing body and amazing metabolism. And she eats as she pleases. She doesn't eat any. She got scurvy 2 weeks ago for the love of.
She got shingles.
Scurvy got shingles.
Shingles.
The doctor told her she had to eat blueberries in order to survive.
She counted them out because she had to eat 12, 10, three times a day.
She ate blueberries like I ate mushrooms when I was 19. It's like you hold your nose, you pop it in, you wash it down with some tap water. All right. So what do you got, T?
I think she'll eat an English muffin with butter.
Bald Brian?
Yes, she eats English muffin.
With butter.
Again.
With butter.
Okay. because I'm flummoxed now because she won't eat pancakes, which is nothing but doughy whatever with butter on it. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
But then she'll give you something about syrup, but I'll say, but don't put the syrup on it. She'll still say she doesn't like it, but there's a texture issue.
English muffins are so specific taste, though.
I'm going to say no, doesn't, and then be prepared. I'm going to be angry if I'm right. I say no. You both say yes.
Adam, you're wrong. I do like it.
I mean, I'm wrong. Okay. That was a close one.
You don't know how to feel.
I don't know how to feel.
It's like taking the Giants on the points.
All right. So it's 2-0 for T. Go ahead, Dawson. Sorry.
Teresa has two. Mm-hmm. Adam has one. Brian has one.
All right. Let's keep going.
Number three. Apple cinnamon oatmeal. Will Angie eat it?
All right. All the picky eaters I know, cinnamon's a problem for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people don't care for cinnamon. Although everything else about it is yummy and tasty, I will still say she won't eat it.
I usually use, you know, children. I use toddlers as a sort of measuring stick for Angie. And that apple, that is a fallback. Like, there's most kids will eat that. It's, like, sweet. But it has more than one thing going on. She doesn't like a whole lot of flavors flying around her palate. I'm going to say no on that one, too. Bob Brian?
I'm going to say yes because it's all artificial flavoring. I don't think Angie will eat apples. I don't think she'll eat cinnamon. I don't think she'll eat just oats. But all these artificial flavors together means yes, she'll eat it.
All right. So one yes with Bob Brian, two no's with Ace and T. Dawson? I mean, wait a minute. Angie? Sorry.
No way.
Yeah. That's my girl. Why not, if you were to put your finger on it?
I like apples, and I like cinnamon, but it's just the oatmeal mess I'm not interested in.
Sure.
All right, Teresa is 3-0, Adam has 2, and Brian has 1.
I'm the same way. It's like, I like porn, I like the computer, but... Oh, wait a second. No, I'm not retarded. That's the greatest gift that was ever given to me. Yeah. I like when people do that. I like baker's yeast. I like sugar. I like flour. I like baker's. I like walnuts, but I cannot stand the muffins once everything's really... All right, now what is it? Oh, what do we all got here?
Teresa has 3.
He's running the table.
Adam has 2.
Literally running the table.
And
all right.
Brian has 1.
Well, let's bring it home. Let's do one more.
All right, number 4. Grapefruit. Will Angie eat it?
This has everything going against it. It's healthy. It's citrus.
It grows.
It grows.
It grows.
God made it. Yeah.
On the other hand, I think this may be just the curveball of the hummus. I'm going to say the hummus of breakfast for Will Angie Eat It is grapefruit. I say she will eat it.
You think she's tossed out a hummus curve?
Yeah.
So you say yes. Maybe the pink stuff. Covered with sugar, the Texas pink one?
That's what I was saying, a sweet Texas pink grapefruit with a little sugar.
Well, Jeffrey Ross is chomping at the bits. I'll tell you what, let's make this our last question.
No.
T, you say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I say no. Bald Brian.
Doesn't matter.
That's what you say. All right, so T says yes, I say no. We'll go into a tiebreaker if I'm right. If T's right, the money will go to the good folks at IHOP. I pocket it if I win. Here we go. T says yes, I say no. Bald Brian says who cares? A grapefruit.
No way.
Yeah.
No grapefruit. What are we now?
It's all tied.
That's my girl.
It's tied, you and me?
Yeah. CT, you're up in your head.
Right. I know that was an obvious one.
It grows on a tree. And it's good for you. And do you think she'd have scurvy if she ate grapefruit?
Yeah, it's true. She had the shingles.
Whatever. AIDS, whatever. Whatever you got.
She had rickets.
All right. Now, we're down to a tiebreaker. Dawson?
For the game.
Toss me one Lederhosen, please.
Lederhosen.
Thank you.
You could say that to the loser, which very well may be me.
All right, for the game. Here we go. But everyone's a winner because we're giving the money away, T.
Yeah.
Which of the following breakfast cereals will Angie eat? Honey Nut Cheerios or Golden Grahams?
Well, now, this isn't fair because I've seen the Honey Nut Cheerios, but what if she eats both? But there can't be trick answers. No, we need another one because I've seen her eat the Honey Nut.
Me too.
She buys the Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm looking at a box of Honey Nut Cheerios right now.
What about the Banana Nut Muffin? We never got to that. Do you think she'll eat that?
The banana? You want to use that?
Should we?
All right.
We can do that.
Maybe this is a trick question. I can't figure you guys out. I don't know if you're stupid or smart or both. I think you may be both. All right.
I'll tell you what.
Banana nut muffin.
I know it has a lot of different ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that she will eat it.
There's nothing better than a banana nut muffin. You say yes to the banana nut muffin. I say no because we're doing a tiebreaker, and I'll probably say it anyway. Angie, will you eat it?
Yes, I will.
Woo!
Later, husband.
All right, so
I'd like to be
great.
Outraged because I lost, but on the other hand, you eat it, so I can't be angry. And if I thought T was going to get one red cent of that money to spend on her expensive jewelry and mascara, I would be angry right now. But
I'm dripping in diamonds.
But it's all going to a worthy cause. And why don't we just have Chrissy intern march it over to the IHOP.
Here are our 20s. It goes to Children's Miracle Network. They're doing a special thing over there. You get a short stack and you give a dollar.
I stuffed my 20 in the kitty on the ride in, so we're cool. Let's take a break. Jeff Ross. Comedian Jeffrey Ross, I got a clip to play you from a local news station where Jeff did a little bit of roasting that we somehow stumbled across. Yes, Dawson, you going to find that?
It's in the bump.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Set it up now.
It is good. It is very good. All right, that's it, Dawson. You want to say goodbye to me?
Yeah, I'm going back to Dudeseldorf. Later, Ozen.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Recently, comedian Jeffrey Ross's career hit a new low when he had to roast a local morning news show.
I love the show. Morning shows are usually bland and dull, but you people are exceptionally bland and dull. Robin, I see you got your S&M chain on. Today's Thursday. Aren't you usually a redhead on Thursday?
And it got even worse when the newscasters themselves jumped in.
You forgot about the part that she's a whore. Oh, we're still on the air.
Yes, that aired. And now Jeffrey Ross is on the Adam Carolla Show.
That was awesome.
I forgot the worst of people.
He's a whore.
On morning news television.
I was in Chicago. All sold out shows because of that.
Really?
A little controversy really helps comedy shows.
Sure. Now, did that guy get suspended or fired or?
That's them who put it on the internet.
Oh, really?
They acted like it was terrible just to get some hype for this ridiculous morning show.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, it's them who pretended it was scandalous.
I don't want to cut you off, but hey, whore?
Yeah.
What's coming up in the news? Whore?
Did you get that, Brian?
Put that on YouTube, whore. Whore that out on YouTube.
Let's whore it out.
Well, Jeff Ross, now let me ask you this. It's one of these things where being the king of the roast is cool, but it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
Because as we talk about all the time, and tell me what you think of this concept. You know, you watch these shows. You watch Kimmel. You watch Letterman. You watch Leno. And you see Paris Hilton on there and Nicole Richie. And you see him just sitting there answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Dave Letterman will be like, hey, Paris, where'd you get that scarf? And she'll be like, I was on Melrose, and I was just walking, and I saw a store, so I went in, and I bought it.
Right.
And I think, God damn, I am so jealous because when I do those shows, I have to bust my hump.
Getting laughs.
You know what I mean? Hey, oh, funny story, Jay, about the scarf. True story. True story. True story. Sweat pouring down my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cotton mouth. Because you have to dance.
You're an entertainer.
Right. And as an entertainer and now the king of the rose, you can't just go on Good Morning Chicago and sit down and go, hey, how's it going, Jeff Ross? You have to write material in your hotel room that night at midnight, right?
Till 2 in the morning for a 6 a.m. appearance. They go, we'll only have you on if you'll roast the morning show.
And so it's, again...
So it's like they think it's like something I throw together in 5 seconds, but then, of course, I'm sharpening pencils and surfing the internet and making sure I have good stuff.
You gotta find out everyone's name.
Well, you don't know these people and what to roast about them.
Although now it'll be like, yeah, whore. I didn't know you were a whore.
I just have to slip up and there you go. You're huge.
Yeah. So do you enjoy that as a comedian or do you resent it and secretly wish you were Nicole Richie like I do?
It's, you know, there's shows where you have more of a shorthand, like this show, you'll let me just come up and be that guy. I mean, I guess you expect me to get laughs, but I also think in jokes, Adam. I can't help but get laughs at a certain point.
Right, but the nerves, the preparation, you know what I mean? Like when someone goes, hey, you're going to be sitting down next to Leno or Letterman, you're thinking about it that week.
They make you plot out every single moment.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think they do with Paris Hilton? Do they not pre-interview her?
I've overheard people make these pre-interview calls. So it's like, Paris has a really funny story about buying a scarf on Melrose, and then it's like, the only thing funny about it is that the paparazzi were chasing. It's like, there's nothing funny about it.
Right.
So it's up to the host to then...
Right, I feel like Letterman, Leno, Kimmel, these guys burn calories and have to earn their money when they're interviewing Paris Hilton. But if Jeff Ross comes on the show, they just sit back.
It's a free ride.
Right.
Like, for instance, I come in, you guys don't even have to be here. I could just take over and roast you guys.
Good, because I got to take a leak.
Jeff, you're going to be performing on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
At the Melrose Improv.
Correct.
Have you done a Valentine's Day show before?
I don't usually work on Valentine's Day, but the Improv asked me to do it, and I had nothing to do, and I thought... You know, a lot of guys have to make last minute Valentine's
right.
Day plans. And I thought, what better way to do it than see me do my love poems and make fun of your date and stuff like that.
Oh, hey, did you bring any of those, by the way?
Of course.
Do you know them off the top of your head?
I have them in my pocket.
All right.
I always have love poems.
Are they filthy? Can we do them on the air? I'm trying to remember because I've heard a few of them.
Probably swing one, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't
you get the right music and lower the lights and Teresa shows some cleavage, I could probably bust one out.
We can make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get Dr. Alter in here so we can buy T some cleavage. I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't you give T your love poems? And for those of you, and I'm not sure if everyone's heard Jeff's, he's known for the roasting, but his poems are hilarious. He has one. It's just clean enough for the radio. He'll deliver it to T. Jeff, do you have a Valentine's, by the way? I know you were kind of breaking up with your girlfriend last time.
No, I don't have a Valentine this year.
Single.
What?
Yeah.
The girl you brought in the last couple times, gone? The
uh-huh.
teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I liked her.
Mm.
What happened?
Well, Jeff's a rambling Jew. I mean, man. He rambles.
Well, no,
he
when we ramble, we call it the diaspora.
That's right.
Us rambling away from people trying to kill us.
He rambles. That's right. Yeah, like us.
We flee.
That's a very interesting point. I feel like Gentiles ramble.
Jews
and
flee.
Jews flee.
Interesting.
Lord, he was born a fleeing Jew.
I don't think I did either.
Pilgrims
I didn't ramble or
coming
flee.
Coming after you.
Well, the point is you wanted to be single. You weren't ready to get married. You weren't ready to settle down.
Jeff.
At this point.
How old a man are you?
I'm 25.
Me too.
Just like you're 29.
I'm a couple years older than you, but not many.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, she listens. She's a huge fan of the show, so
oh,
I'm worried
no.
about hurting her feelings.
So she's a genius, and you let her go.
Yeah.
She was a really sweet, nice woman who supported you.
She's an amazing, amazing person.
Well,
sometimes, you know.
Don't cry!
I'm going to cry.
I don't want to get too involved here, but here goes. Jeff's a comedian. Jeff's life's on the road, and also... I'll be honest, and Jeff, you be as honest as you want to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
People that are attracted to comedy, there's two parts of us. A, we like comedy, and then B, we don't like life. We don't want to work at the same school, the same foundry, the same factory
the same
for 30 years. We don't want to marry our high school sweethearts and crap out 9 kids. See, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, you think about jobs and who's attracted to certain jobs. It's two parts. It's A, what are you good at? Are you funny? Do you have a sense of humor? And then B, what aren't you good at? What don't you like? Well, that's part of what comics do. They don't like that sense of I'm married to this person for 20 years. I'm married to this life. I'm married to this job. You're on the road. You're literally going from club to club, from town to town. And then it's hard to take that mentality and flip the switch and bring it back and become a family man. I would say by and large, stand-ups probably have, you know, musicians have this. Everybody who has that sort of love for freedom in the road is freaked out about marriage. But then what happens? You start getting a little bit older. You start thinking about settling down. But then it becomes intimidating. You get freaked out mm-hmm. by it. It looms larger than it should. I felt the same way. And I got to tell you, the actual plunge, the marriage, the children and all that, it's actually a relief. It feels like it's doomsday. It feels like it's the end of the world. It turns out it's a relief. It's like you've been running from something that was just smoke and mirrors the whole time and never had any teeth or claws.
I can see that.
All right.
I agree with that. It's embarrassing. I feel like at times I'm married to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do better than that. Well, but sometimes it just overtakes you. I can't turn a gig down. I've been on the road for a month. I got back yesterday. It's very difficult to have a relationship.
Well, T, you know anyone you could set Jeffrey up with?
As a matter of, this is weird, and I feel weird because your ex is listening, and I really like her, and I think she's a sweet girl, but I specifically have a friend who has a crush on you.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know her. We'll talk
during
the break.
Oh, okay.
I know her?
You know her. You've met her.
Did you listen to the news?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And you like her?
Yeah.
All right. We'll see if we can find a love
match.
What
does she do?
Comedians.
Yeah.
What does she? Is she going to give it away?
It'll give her away. Yeah. She's private. I remember
you giving me great advice in house hunting, and it sounds a lot like your relationship advice, which is just jump in.
Just go do it.
Yes. You'll be comfortable wherever you land. Mm-hmm.
Jeff is going to be at the Melrose Improv again on Valentine's Day. We'll take a quick break. Jeff is going to read a poem for T, and then T, in exchange, maybe you'll drop a name on Jeff.
I'm about to in a minute.
Quick break. Back with Jeff Ross next.
Is this a morning show or a telethon for people with bad haircuts?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and more with comedian Jeffrey Ross on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff, so yeah. Let me get this straight one more time. The Gentiles ramble, the Jews flee.
That's right.
All right. Jeff Ross can be seen fleeing over to the Melrose Improv. That's right here in Hollywood. That's Valentine's Day. Then he's going to be at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas on the 21st of March and the Grove in Anaheim. Well, that's a good gig. On March the 22nd. Jeff, when we left off, we were talking about a poem for mm-hmm. Teresa Strasser. And T, you had a lady friend.
Yeah, we talked a little. You know, this breakup is very, very fresh. It just happened. Mm. So I think Jeff's going to need a couple months.
I spoke to Dave. People don't realize this about Jeff.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not going to embarrass him, but he is a sensitive man.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
He's a very sincere, sensitive guy. And we spoke for what seemed like 5 hours over Christmas over at a friend of ours' house about the breakup, the relationship, and all that stuff. And he takes it seriously. But on the other hand, you got to climb on that horse again, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess pretty soon. It's tough talking about it.
But you're not ready to date?
I feel like I'm not. I guess if I found somebody that was worth dating, I would. But I haven't really been looking, and you don't really meet them at the Zanies in Chicago.
The Valentine's Day show.
The Valentine's Day show is interesting because that was one thing I would fight with my ex-girlfriend about, was I never made plans far enough in advance on Valentine's Day. So I said, well, here's a way, you know, for people who don't have plans to do something last minute, or if you don't have a Valentine, to have something to do.
Right.
I would always be struggling to find something to do on Valentine's Day that was cool and original. We'd fight about that.
Well, why don't you pitch this to your girlfriend? You say, I got a guy. He's a big comedian. His name is Jeff Ross.
But she already knows and thinks he's funny.
He's not ready to love again. He's in a shell. So you'd have to really work to really get him out of his shell to love again.
Right.
Do you think she'd take that challenge?
No, because she's smart and she knows that you need a couple months probably.
How about just some meaningless sex, perhaps?
That might be an option.
Now, do we know this one? Can we say her name?
No, we can't say her name because she's very, very private about this crush because they're sort of both in a similar world.
Mm-hmm.
He knows her. He knows who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
She's an ex-comedian.
But, yeah, don't say any more because she'll get upset. But she's cute.
Well, why'd you bring her up then? You brought her up on the air.
I just wanted to cheer Jeff up that somebody liked him. I just wanted to give away her identity.
You mentioned this to me years ago before I had a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just came to me when he announced he was single. I had no idea he'd broken up with the teacher. I thought they'd be together forever.
Don't take this in an insulting way, but why does she like Jeff Ross?
I'll tell you exactly
why.
Like
a lot why do you say it to her? Don't take
I'll
it.
I'll tell you exactly
why. Maybe it's an
why.
Insult to me.
No, that's what I mean.
I do the insults around here.
I just mean that there's plenty of other comedians out there. Why Jeff Ross?
Well, there's a lid for every pot.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happens to be her type.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes his sense of humor and she thinks he's cute.
All right.
Wow.
I thought that would cheer you up.
Let's give her a code name, Issa Ampanelli.
All right, so Margaret Cho is not ready to.
I'm sorry, I know that's obnoxious to not say the name, but it dawned on me in mid that, she might not like
it. It makes me feel better to think that there's somebody out there who would be into me at this point.
Right.
That's nice.
Well, who wouldn't be? You're a single, successful comedian. Chicks dig that.
I feel like quality people, real people, the marrying type, are turned off by show folk. Well, they look at me as a comic who goes on the road, who does this and that, and makes dirty jokes, and that's not the kind of guy you bring home to mom always.
And well, speaking of mom, your parents were together. I think your dad died when you were young. Is that correct?
They both did.
When you were young. Yeah. But they were married when they
died.
Happily married. Normally, and it's something that's new, and you guys tell me if you've noticed this. I've noticed it lately. I used to say to people that were single, when did your parents get divorced? And what kind of bad taste did that leave in your mouth? Now I'm seeing a lot of people whose parents loved each other, whose marriages stayed intact and endured the test of time, who are 40 and not married. I don't understand that. See, it used to be easy. I just take a look at your past and I could judge the future. Are we giving breed? Is there a new breed of person out there that's kind of living for me? You know what I mean? I don't mean that in a real negative way, but
the world is like that. MySpace.
Right.
It's like the word.
Right. It's not our space. Right. It's MySpace. Yeah. And there's a bunch of Reebok ads saying this is your world, you know? And then there's
you
some guy that says,
just do it.
Just do it. Right. And it's your world. We're just living in it. And are we breeding people that are a little bit, I don't want to say narcissistic because it sounds bad, but there was a given. In this country 50 years ago, you were a guy. You got a job, you married a woman, you had a family, and then the kids and the woman, well, they were job one. Right. That's, you had to put food on the table, you had to take care of them, and hopefully you had enough money to send your kids to college. It was just sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's kind of like for the men and the women. Hey, screw the sacrifice, I'm looking out for me.
Equal rights sort of changed that playing field, right? Women feel obligated to also have a career and put food on the table and be independent, so maybe that...
Interesting point. Maybe that's when the change started. Maybe when women said, yeah, I want to work and I don't want to be a house mom and I want to have a career and I want to have a life too, where guys took it to the next level, which is fine. I'm never going to knock you up.
Right.
Guess who else wants to live a little? We're not getting married.
You know, when I go on the road, I do notice there's a lot of, you know, you see people who are like very young looking, very fresh faced couples, and you can't believe they're married right out of high school. You don't see that in LA and in New York.
No, LA.
You don't even assume to ask if they're married. You just go, how long you guys been dating?
Right. You never go through Hollywood and you're at some party and you find someone who are sweethearts in high school. As a matter of fact, people that date each other in Los Angeles didn't grow up in the same state.
Right.
Right,
much less the same high school.
In Hollywood, when you read about celebrities getting married at 24, you think, oh, so young.
Plus, when you meet guys that are dating in Hollywood, it's like, did you guys meet in high school? No, she wasn't born.
Yeah.
Right.
That's basically.
There's that.
I graduated, and then 9 years later, she was born. And then now we're dating.
You know what it is? I also think that L.A., Hollywood, I mean, at least the business circles that I run in, it's morally corrupt out here.
Yes.
You meet nicer people in other parts of the country.
I disagree. I think you can meet nice people everywhere you go.
Well, here's what I will say.
I really do.
You're very optimistic.
I've met the most interesting, most creative, most inventive, smartest people.
How'd you meet your boyfriend?
Here. I just saw him across the room in a restaurant.
J-date.
He's a civilian. He's not in show business.
Right.
Well, let me say this. I'm going to agree with both of you, which is in a city that has, I don't know, 15 million people, believe me, there's one for you. On the other hand, yeah, if you went to Montana, you'd probably find more sincere people on a whole.
More people looking to settle down.
All right. Do you have your poem, by the way, Jeff Ross?
Always. Got it right here.
Right. T.
I would need music and some dim the lights. And
T, do you think you might cry? You mentioned off the air that you cried just because Batman changed a light bulb over the weekend.
I was so touched.
Really?
Such a sweet thing to do. Yeah, it's the little things.
Jesus Christ.
Thoughtful.
I put a second story on my house. My wife doesn't roll over in bed. You cry.
No.
You cry when he replaces a light bulb.
I was, when I went in the closet and the light bulb was changed and fixed, I was really touched.
Because you had a man in the house.
He was trying to make my life better.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
You want me to fill your tank up with gas or something?
This is what you woke me up for.
You're a cheap date.
Oil change, and I'm yours.
All right, let's hear it, Jeffrey Ross.
All right, this is a love poem.
Is the music appropriate?
Yeah, it sounds perfect.
Okay.
Maybe if you're listening at home, you should join hands with the loved one next to you. If you're in the car, maybe you pull over and roll your window down and join hands with the person in the next car.
Done.
If your ex-girlfriend is listening...
why do you got to keep them?
Jesus Christ, T.
Trying to
help.
Guy can't squeeze off a joke.
I'm sorry.
You're not going to rest till he cries?
I'm trying.
Jesus Christ.
This is the saddest appearance I've ever made.
It's a goddamn morning show.
I'm sorry.
Not a morning show.
Yes.
I put the U in morning.
All right, let's finish this dirge and then go to news.
That'll be sad too, don't worry.
All right, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
This is a poem, a love poem, a poem about, well, you'll get it. This poem's called, Hey, Wait a Minute. Her long tan legs, her dark bedroom eyes, her soft, sultry voice, her large, protruding Adam's apple. Hey, wait a minute. Thank you. Hey, Wait a Minute by Jeffrey Ross. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, there you go, T. You're going to cry again?
No.
All right, so we covered our bases. You got your light bulb changed. Jeffrey threw out a poem. And Jeff can be found at the Melrose Improv. That is this Valentine's Day. Jeff, thanks as per usual. And Jeff, if you want to hang out while we do the news, you're more than welcome.
That'd be fun.
All right, T.
Oh, good.
T's the news.
Dr. Phil, are you a fan?
No.
Well, he celebrated
1,000th show.
Yeah, his 1,000th show.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very special guest, Oprah.
Oh, really?
Mm. Let's blow on hard crime. All right, so Oprah and Dr. Phil, we'll hear that next, as well as the rest of the news. Jeff Ross hanging in with us, and we'll do that.
You think they reinforced the couch before Oprah and Dr. Phil sit on it together?
I do feel like, you know, when you get into an elevator and they go, anything over 1,300 pounds and someone's got to take the stairs? Yeah, I do feel like a couple of grips got down there and put some plinth blocks or something underneath that thing.
She made a huge impression on that couch.
You know what's weird? Jeff, you've done this a million times, right? You do a talk show, and in talk shows, they don't like you sinking into the chair or the sofa and getting comfortable, so they put a piece of plywood right under the thing, but they don't never say anything to you. So you'll see the guests plop down and go, what the F?
Right.
If they gave you a little heads up. Well, anyway, we'll take ourselves a break. Back with Jeff Ross in the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Bringing the farm to you, residents in Sylmar get something about livestock shock.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, nothing's going to compare to the chick from Good Morning Chicago being called a whore.
That was good.
Jeff, I think you're an enabler. There's no way that guy would have called a coworker a whore if you weren't on that show.
I think you're right.
Jeff Ross is in studio. He's going to be at the Melrose Improv. That's out here in Hollywood. That is coming up 8 o'clock this Thursday, Valentine's Day. T?
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Members of the Writers Guild of America meet this afternoon to decide if they will head back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were happy about that.
Of course. The whole town is happy about it. That's big news.
It's going to be a shock to the system of all the writers I know. So instead of sitting around eating all day and playing rotisserie baseball, they're going to have to get in their car, drive 4 miles, sit around and eat all day and play rotisserie baseball.
I think the strike has saved some lives because a lot of those picketers, I don't know if you drove by any of the picketers,
yeah.
It looks like they hadn't had any exercise or sunshine in a long, long time.
Well, of course, the members still have to vote. No chance this isn't going to pass, though, right, Jeff?
No, it's going to pass.
Yeah. 2,000 members of the WGA will be at New York's Crown Plaza Hotel. That is where they will decide on whether to immediately end their 3-month-long walkout. If so, then ballots will be mailed out over the coming week so each writer can decide if they accept the new deal. A similar vote will also take place here in L.A.
If you had to assign a number to it, 10 being we got everything we demanded and we've never been happier, 1 being status quo, we basically just went back to work. Where do you think this shakes out, Jeff Ross? Because I personally, and I don't know, and I don't think anyone really knows, but it's feeling to me about a 4.
Interesting. I think it's better than that.
You think it's a 7?
I think it's a 7.
It's feeling like a 7 to me from the people I've spoken
to. Well, the mood at the meeting Saturday night, apparently it was a lot of standing ovations, a lot of unity, a lot of positive,
a lot
sort
of overcompensation. Yeah, but I don't know, maybe it's just me because writers are so sullen and morose that really nothing, they won't label anything a victory. I mean, maybe it's just the guys you're talking to,
right.
You know, your basic
well
stand-up
be.
Writers, you know. All right.
Well, with the strike winding down, Some shows will be back. Some shows will be back in the fall instead of the spring. Some shows are on the bubble and some will not be back at all. Did not survive the strike. ABC is very likely to be back with Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy, Samantha Who, Ugly Betty, Boston Legal, Brothers and Sisters.
It's really like somebody talks to me in my sleep and goes, Adam, what shows do you not watch and don't care about?
Boston Legal, Ugly Betty, Desperate Housewives. Grey's Anatomy, yeah, I wouldn't have to get divorced for that show. So. And then they go, okay, we got
it. The strike's over.
We got it. We got it. I found out the other day, by the way, after 30 years, HBO canceled Inside the NFL.
What?
That must have been one of the other things I said in my sleep. Please don't cancel Inside the NFL. So I feel like if I announce that I like something, it's gone the next day. Wow. And if I announce this thing's driving me nuts, it goes on to have a 10-year run.
Well, the LA Times says three ABC shows are dead, although they do put a question mark. Dead?
Mine's dead. The next best thing, dead.
Oh, it's died?
They killed it.
Oh.
I may have mentioned that in my sleep.
Well, Big Shots, Notes from the Underbelly, and Cavemen, according to the LA Times, pretty much dead. Now, as far as NBC goes,
Cavemen, that movie was that show was so bad I fired my agent. Cavemen. That show was bad.
Did not make it. Notes from the Underbelly. Well, we love Rachel Harris, but she will be available hopefully to get another great job on TV. The Office, 30 Rock, Law and Order, My Name Is Earl, likely to be back with new episodes in the spring. Heroes and Chuck probably won't be back until next season. On the bubble. On the bubble. Friday Night Lights.
Sure.
Very painful.
Take a show about football and get rid of that.
It's tough. Well, it's not football season. That would have done well over the winter.
Well, critics loved it, but
audiences
didn't.
I still can't catch a break.
It really can't. I know. Hopefully another network will pick it up. Bionic Woman. Dead? Question
really?
Mark.
Yeah, I thought that got out of the gates pretty good.
It didn't. The Terminator one did very well initially, but Bionic Woman never really caught on and didn't come out of the gates that strong. CBS is bringing back 2.5 Men.
You know, I don't believe that show actually exists. I think it just exists to annoy me.
Have you seen it,
it's
Jeff?
It's funny. I think it's very funny.
Is it?
At this point, it should be 3 men, though. The kid weighs 300 pounds.
Charlie Sheen has been shrinking over the last 5 seasons. The kid's packed on the weight. They passed each other in the middle of season 3, right? The kid started off at 72 pounds, and Sheen was 210. Now Sheen is 135, and the kid's 211. So they passed each other.
Well, HBO is sort of
three and a quarter men.
It's true. It is 3.25. HBO is a little bit strike-proof, of course.
How old is that kid, by the way? Is he on, like, hormone therapy or something?
He's huge.
I know, but he's been a huge 11-year-old for 9 years, I feel like.
They're keeping him suppressed.
Isn't he got a hit high? What is he, like a Russian gymnast?
He's like, Dad. Are you done with that? I'm starving.
No, I'm sorry. Now, you want me to help you with your 6th grade homework?
Out of the way, I'm going to nail one of your legs.
Yeah. How old is that kid?
He's got to be a teenager.
All right.
When it comes to HBO, In Treatment, the first season is airing now. All episodes were completed before the strike. That is strike-proof. Likely to be
they
back.
They got rid of Inside the NFL.
That was a good show.
I need to go into treatment because they got rid of Inside the NFL. 30 years that show's been on.
Is that good
true?
News for you.
30 years.
No, they got rid of it?
They canceled it.
It's Emmy Award winning.
I started grabbing my heart like Fred Sanford. I was watching this, said nothing about it, and then watching it on last Wednesday, and Bob Costas basically said, that's it. We're gone.
That is very sad.
Did they give a reason?
No, they gave no reason. And by the way, I don't know how the cable works, because like you take a show like The Tudors. That's on Showtime, but Tudors, that show must be $20 million an episode. I mean, they're flying the cast into Ireland. They're dismantling castles and moving them onto sound stages. People are pulling up on horses and dressed in period garb. Like, what's that cost versus Dan Marino and Chris Carter sitting around talking pigskin for 20 minutes on a crappy set? You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of production cost now that I think about involved with sending guys out and doing like this every game, every weekend. But
not compared to these.
Not compared to these sweeping epic shows.
The NFL Network must be putting their thumb down.
Something happened. There's something.
Look into that.
They're consolidating the footage into the NFL Network. Rich Eisen.
There's some kind of clearance thing, some license thing. Like something must have ran out. I'm livid. I'm this close to writing one of those things you do when you're mad and you send it.
Letter.
A letter. That's right.
Do your own version outside the NFL.
Yes.
Right?
I should do it. Me and Jeff Ross talk
football.
HBO Sports.
Tell your face mask.
Increased competition in NFL-related programming since the show's inception is a reason for
its cancellation. What competition? How do they even know what the ratings are? Yeah. Do they even know what cable ratings are?
Well, it's by subscription. It's confusing.
So everyone has HBO? All right.
Well, Entourage is coming back, if
good.
That cheers you up.
I'm
at
happy
the end
about
it. Of 08 or maybe early 09.
Mm-hmm.
Likely to be back in spring, early summer from Showtime, The Tudors.
There you go.
I know you're excited about that.
$20 billion an episode.
Is it a good show?
I don't know. No one's ever seen it.
I saw the first episode. It's well done. It's just, it's not my cup of tea.
But how much is that show?
Ugh. It looks expensive.
Like, it's like making a movie.
Yeah.
Every episode's a
sure.
movie. All right.
And writing on some FX shows is set to resume as soon as the strike ends, which could be very, very soon. That means Damages, Rescue Me, Nip Tuck, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will be back in late 08.
All right.
I wish somebody would cancel that reality show, America's Next Top President. We have to watch every single day, 24 hours a day.
It's starting to feel that way.
Oh. It is.
Okay. Dr. Phil had a very important milestone, and as you guys no doubt are very well aware, Oprah gave Dr. Phil his start.
But when he has a solid BM, he declares it a milestone. I mean, that guy's into himself.
He is into himself.
Yes.
And to celebrate 1,000 episodes.
A gallon of scalp polish.
And huge guest who had never been on his show before, Oprah Winfrey.
I feel like, hold on. Do you know anyone else beside Dr. Phil that uses Grecian formula and scalp polish? I feel like that only, you know, gets sold to different crowds. You
there
know what I mean?
There was a moment where Rudy Giuliani might have.
Good point.
Brief.
Good point.
You know one other
that
guy.
Poor guy. He lost his, I don't like to make fun of Giuliani, he lost his toupee in the World Trade Center. It's pretty sad.
A lot of good comb-overs went down in that rubble. Okay. All right, let's hear Oprah. I'm sorry.
Here is Oprah.
Congratulations to you, Phil. Everybody is asking me, did I think that this would be possible? And the true answer is, yes, I did think that this would be possible. What I thought was is that you would have tired of it before you hit 1,000 shows. I really thought, about 4 or 5 years, and then you'll be like, let me get back to Texas. But that didn't happen at all. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's such a blowhardy answer. The people that go, you want the truth? You want the true answer? No, I want the one you made up on the ride in. Of course, I would assume the answer you give is the true answer. That's a blowhardy Oprah move right
there.
Well,
if you think it's a mutual admiration society, wait till they toast each other.
Oh, really? Is this where he calls her a fat whore?
This is our 10-year anniversary.
I know, in the back I was saying,
honey, we got to have a toast. We got to have a toast. Champagne.
I said, this is what I said, is dear, you don't remember, this is our 10th anniversary.
Yes, I know that's what you, oh,
dear.
Look here.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, okay, oh, a little okay. bottle of Cristal. I don't drink, so
what?
I have water.
Now I hate him.
Well, I do.
I used to be bothered by him, and now I despise him.
This is Phil's 1,000th show. Cheers to you.
Cheers,
yes,
cheers.
But, and this is our 10th anniversary.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, they met 10 years ago when Dr. Phil was helping Oprah with that trial. Remember when the beef people were mad at her?
Yeah. He like, counsels people on substance abuse, and he has a toast on his show.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't drink.
He seems hypocritical.
But he still
about
shouldn't have toast. And you know what? Audiences are enablers, because if you ever go up on stage and you hold up a bottle of booze and take a swig off it, everyone will go nuts.
Love
and all
it.
You have to do is go, hey, a toast, or we're going to open some booze, and everyone just erupts.
Look, if I have to make a speech and I don't have an ending, you just lift a glass, everyone claps, and you're out of there.
Right.
Works
right.
every time,
mm-hmm.
except at an AA meeting.
Mm. All right,
it even
so
works there, believe it or not.
Oprah is blowing air up Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's blowing hard after 10 years. How many episodes was that? 1,000?
1,000. Here
Jesus
is.
Jesus Christ, it feels like 10,000.
Here's a little bit
more. I
feel
more. Like I was watching him when I was in high school.
Well, he has that eternal quality.
It's my 1,000th show, and it's hard to say 1,000th and show back to back. Oprah is here, and I told you at the time when I came on the show for the first time, I said, I just have to come and be who I am, and everybody but you said it won't work.
Yeah, that's true.
They said it won't
y'all
work.
You know, at first everybody told me this wouldn't work. My producers, everybody said, this is not this guy. And the audience had a really strong reaction to you, and it wasn't so good.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I'm sure that's the environment Oprah fosters over there. People coming up and sharing their honest opinion with her about her ideas working. I'm sure that happens every day. Yeah. Here's how that would work. Here we go. You be the producer that's concerned about Dr. Phil not working. I'll be Oprah in my office.
I don't know about
You're fired! Jeff Ross, you be a segment producer who's a little concerned.
Oprah,
you're fired.
Meaning to talk.
You're fired.
But
don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Look, here's a coffee mug with my name on it.
Doctor,
you're fired.
Miss Winfrey?
Yeah.
I think that maybe comes across maybe a little bit of a blowhard.
Oh, you're talking about my idea? You mean talking about Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil.
You're fired. Now shut up.
Oprah, just one thing.
Hold on a second. I need to put you on a stick, and I'm going to have crows peck at your eyeballs. I'm going to put you in front of Harpo Production, and I'm going to put a sign. I'm going to hang it around your neck. Now, don't worry, sweetie. You'll be dead, but it'll be this was the last person that disagreed with me. Okay, sweetie? Now, climb up on the stick.
No severance?
I'll sever some limbs. That'll be it.
All right, before we go, you know, James Blunt is one of Adam's favorite singers. Do you know his work, Jeff?
Yeah, beautiful.
He met that chick at the train station.
He actually told a really interesting story on Ellen. He fixed up his sister, and it went very well.
Hmm?
Let's take a listen.
I put my sister on eBay.
With Ellen?
I have a bit of an eBay addiction, actually.
On Ellen.
Oh, not with it. Okay.
I put my sister on eBay. I had a bit of an eBay addiction, actually, and I put her on eBay as a damsel in distress. Needs a knight in shining armor. I have to say why. Because she couldn't get to a funeral in Southern Ireland where all the planes and trains and ferries weren't working. So I put on eBay, a damsel in distress, needs a knight in shining armor, and these guys started bidding, and they bid until they won, one guy, and he had a helicopter so he could fly her to the funeral in Southern Ireland. And 6 months ago, they got married.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that a story?
Yeah. Before you guys melt with your hearts here, I've seen James Blunt backstage over at Kimmel's.
Yeah.
He was on the phone with his agent. First off, no affect, no English accent. He's like, Marty, if I go, I don't go second, douchebag. You hear me? I come over there, I'll break you like kindling, you son of a bitch. You tell effing Kim I'm a lead guest. I will hit him with my guitar, give him an El Kabong like you've never seen before. Now I'm lead. I don't go second. You understand? Now who's got some nose candy?
James, don't be blunt.
That's the news.
T.
Tomorrow's
you
news.
You can't sneak up on Brian that fast.
I know.
Teresa
I'm sorry.
Strasser.
Jeff Ross in studio. Also, Jeff Ross is going to be at the Melrose Improv coming up this Valentine's Day. We'll take a quick break back, wrap it up, say goodbye next. Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Kirsten Haglund. That is a super hot first name and a super ugly second name, but don't worry. It worked out for her. Hey, it's National Pancake Day.
Oh, thanks to IHOP.
Yeah, we sent over some money. They sent over some Johnny's. National Pancake Day. Also, Billy Mays.
Blow your brains out with one six-pack.
Shotgun beer.
Eric Stromer, Over Your Head, H.